much about.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a world of happiness.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
When you read about me in the paper, it's always Star Jones' ex-husband. I want people to know that I'm more than just Star Jones' ex-husband. I'm Al Reynolds.
Tell us about that. Are you gay?
I'm not really a touchy-feely type, but, well, hell, I'll just say it. You're a jackass.
I have an idea. Let me tase you.
No, you can't tase us.
Okay, then. How about a knock-knock joke?
Fine.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Get it?
And now.
And the always enjoyable giant inflatable beaver.
Our feature presentation.
I think that's true, by the way. I believe that is a true statement. Everybody enjoys a giant inflatable beaver.
Sure. Hey, Lisa May.
Hey, Bean.
I got to see Lisa May in person on Saturday.
Yeah. I'm uncomfortable with this new relationship between you two.
It's love. You can't stand in the way of love.
It's not what Lisa says.
No, on the air, love.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it is? Lisa May's like, you got to save me, Kevin. Beat is being creepy. What am I going to do? How do I say? Now she's going to HR. She's like, I feel like I'm being sexually harassed, but all he's really saying is hello. What should I do?
It's bizarre.
Oh, I think if they just replayed your hello, that'd be enough.
All it is
hey, Lisa.
Yeah. I saw Lisa on Saturday, and I always forget how pretty she is.
Oh, that's so See, now I love you again.
Because in my mind, she's you're a dog.
You're a whore.
What?
You're a whore.
Why, because she loves me again?
Because he cuts you.
I don't
you,
care
he
if I'm a whore. I'm pretty.
He tears you apart for 6 months and says you're pretty one time. And you're like, yes, I love you.
Yeah, I'm Lisa's... the typical low confidence, low self-esteem girl. What do you want?
Yeah.
Hot chicks with low self-esteem, they're the best thing in the world. What are you kidding me? All right, party people, welcome in. It is Monday. It is an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Hope everybody had a great weekend. We have many stories from ours. We have stories that involve everything from Snoop Dogg to furries. So we had quite the weekend. Here's a story I want to get you guys started with, and I think that you will love it. This is a poor couple in Florida that was foreclosed upon. Bank of America foreclosed upon.
I do love that.
However, we've been hearing a lot of stories lately about banks maybe not doing their due diligence and being as thorough with their paperwork as they might be.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And perhaps not being as caring about their customers as they might be. So they foreclosed upon this couple in Florida, and the couple went to court, and they proved to the judge that not only were they not in arrears for their mortgage, but that they had paid cash for their house, and they had no mortgage.
Oh, my God. Really?
They hadn't had a mortgage in all this time.
They did not have a mortgage at all. So it was just a big misunderstanding. So the judge agreed, by the way, and said the Bank of America was liable, because the couple had done nothing wrong, was liable for the legal fees.
Right.
And said, hey, Bank of America, you put these people through hell. You made them come to court and pay for all this stuff. You're going to pay the legal fees.
Sweet.
Which is fair, which I think totally makes sense, right?
Yep.
Well, Bank of America did not cough up those legal fees. 5 months after the judge's ruling, they still had not paid.
What? Are they disputing it?
No. They're just...
not paying.
They don't care about the little people. So what do you suppose the couple and their attorney did? They foreclosed on the bank, ladies and gentlemen.
How do you do that?
They did the exact same thing that the bank did, which is basically go to the sheriff's department and say, hey, here's a judgment. 5 months later, I still haven't got any cash. They showed up and they seized the bank's desks, computers, copiers, filing cabinets.
Sweet.
Cash in the teller's drawers.
I was going to ask about cash.
You're kidding.
And after about an hour of being locked out of the bank, someone showed up with a check to the attorney for the for the fees. But they actually went in there and shut down the bank.
What about the vault?
Well, I think
access to the vault.
I think that I doubt that, but I think that they were only eligible for however much they had. But it sounds like they just took everything. That just must have been the sweetest feeling in the world. And I hope the couple was there to see it. When the sheriffs go in and start, you know, locking up the doors, throwing the employees out, and start moving the furniture out.
Where was this?
Florida.
Miami?
Florida. Florida, yeah. So I just love that story so much. But you know what? I mean, the bigger problem is so many banks and so many companies. I mean, your customer is just a number and you don't really care. And you're in no hurry to do something for them.
Yeah, but once you're in court,
yes,
and the judge rules against you, you would think they would have someone paying attention to that.
You would think so, too. Maybe they run the Bank of America like they run our show.
Could
I don't
be.
Know. But anyway, I just thought that was awesome. It's nice to start off with a sweet revenge story, I think.
I'll bet the people weren't even happy. But they were really just upset that they had to do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're not like you and I.
Yeah.
You and I would be out in front going, yeah.
They probably just wish they had never been foreclosed on in the first place.
Well, sure.
That would have been a best case scenario.
There's that. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeto, shall we?
That is lame.edu.
I haven't said anything yet. We're going to talk about cell surgeries today.
Yes.
Love this topic. It always comes up. Somebody always does something, and then you go, why would you do that to yourself? They're doctors, and there's, well, we didn't have health care. Whatever reason, people do self-surgeries. Most of the time, it involves alcohol.
What's your cutoff on how delicate a surgery you would attempt on your own?
Well, probably just brain surgery.
Okay.
Probably just that.
I do heart. I was going to say splinter.
I'd go with heart. I do open heart, but I don't think I'd go with brain.
Okay.
You know, because you might touch the wrong thing and all of a sudden you don't know what you're doing.
Oh, you would hate that.
Right. So that's what.
Oh, that may answer a lot of questions. Exactly.
Thank you, Lisa. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin today from TMZ.com.
Guys.
About all the celebrity news that happened over the weekend.
Did we miss any big meltdowns, Lisa? I've been a little bit out of the news cycle.
Not that I heard.
Nick Cage didn't get arrested again or anything like that? Or
not that I heard. I could be wrong.
Andy Dick? Okay.
Nothing big. I don't
think. I don't think she was paying attention.
That's true, too. Why did you hear something?
No. I could tell from your voice that you have if something huge happened. You wouldn't know.
Yeah, probably.
It started a war, and she's like, I don't know. I'm not paying attention. Yeah. We're going to talk to Jim Miller, who is a guy who wrote a book about ESPN.
Oh, nice.
Called Those Guys Have All the Fun. And he actually went to the headquarters and where is it, Connecticut or wherever, and just went behind the scenes and saw everything. And for those of you that watch SportsCenter like I do 5 times a day, it's always the same, but you still watch it. It's going to be fascinating. I can't wait to get the book.
Well, it's fascinating to me to try to put yourself in the mindset of what the television landscape was like back when ESPN started.
Yeah, true.
Because I'm sure, and I'm sure Jim talks about this in the book, there were a lot of people who said, you can't put sports on all the time.
Yeah,
you
24
just can't.
Hours. There's not enough sports.
Right.
But then they forgot that there's baseball. And you can fill days with one baseball game. So that's no problem at all. We also have the furry convention we have to tell you about.
Can't wait.
We're excited about that.
Omar was legitimately fascinated with the furries. I've rarely seen him as excited as he was to talk to the furries.
And not cartoon angry. But,
no.
But really interested.
He's trying to understand it. I think he may secretly want to be a furry.
Oh, I think he is a furry.
I mean, he's pretty hairy anyway, but I mean.
And we also have the Wheel of Ed Animal Voices. So that's coming up today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Ralph Mother Effin Garman.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. So good to be back.
Is this like a dream come true for you to show up? No Kevin, no Bean, just you and Lisa?
It's
come on.
Sweet. I got to tell you, I appreciate the effort, guys. You really did show that you missed me by making my return as pleasant as possible. I really do appreciate it.
We're easing you back in.
You are, little by little.
We
got
a
hot new intern named Alex who's walking around here today.
That's what I heard.
All is good.
She's got kidding.
Yeah, she's got sort of a Naya Rivera vibe from Glee.
Oh, that's a great deal. Oh, I gotta dig the bell out of my luggage. That's a great deal right there.
Is
wow.
that a euphemism, by the way, digging the bell out of your luggage?
You know, if there were no Kevin, no Bean, and a smoking hot intern every day, you might not hate this job. This could be the start of something big.
Oh, don't get nuts. I mean, that's I get ridiculous here, but it's good to be back.
We don't know how much you can say, but maybe later you can give us some insight into how your week was, because I know it was a working week for you, but it sounds like it was still also a lot of fun.
I'd love to talk about it. Yeah, I was working with Seth MacFarlane, who is directing his first feature film, a live-action feature film comedy. We were shooting in Boston. They're still shooting.
You're a PA?
Went for a week. No, I'm on screen. I am an actor in that film.
Oh. Sorry.
Smarty Pants. It sounds like Kevin had a long weekend. That's all I can tell you.
So Kevin and I are in the cab on our way back. We're in San Francisco right now. We did the Live 105 big summer concert. Mm-hmm. So we're in the cab on the way home. And it's been a very, very long day. Very, very long 2 days because we did the Weenie Rose Saturday and then the BFD on Sunday night.
Right.
So I don't know. It's got to be 10 o'clock or something like that. And we're in the cab and I say, you know, the old Kevin, the Kevin I used to remember, he would be going out right now. But I'm glad you've grown up and you understand you got to get up super early in the morning. And I know you're going back to the hotel and you're going to bed. He's like, yes, I am. He came in this morning. He's like, dude, I went out last night.
Go out. I couldn't help myself. Go out now. No, it's on good for Red Dot Monday.
I was laying in bed and I realized there's big city out there.
Oh, so, man. I don't know what time he got in, but he's looking pretty rough.
I'd like to play the difference in Bean's impression of me and Ralph's impression of me.
I don't do impressions.
Very
you
different.
Know that.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Huge weekend for X-Men First Class. Made $56 million in its debut weekend. Not as much as expected, but still enough to make it number one by far this weekend. Anybody catch it besides me? I saw it yesterday, First Class.
Did not, no.
I hear it's really good.
Very, very entertaining. Really, really enjoyed it.
I'm excited about that.
Hangover Part 2 came in at number two this weekend with $32.4 million. Kung Fu Panda 2 was third. Pirates of the Caribbean 4?
Yeah.
Caribbean? Caribbean? That always hangs me up.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
I think Billy Ocean screwed up the pronunciation of that word for all of us.
Gotta be in Queen. Bridesmaids was fifth. Thor was sixth. Fast Five was seventh. Midnight in Paris, the new Woody Allen film, was eighth. Jumping the Broom and Something Borrowed rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend.
Well, stop mentioning Jumping the Broom. Just stop mentioning it.
You love Jumping the Broom, didn't you?
I didn't see it.
Oh. It's a real movie. It exists.
It doesn't.
Turns out Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, the Victoria's Secret supermodel, soon to be seen in the Transformers movie, is one of Bean's people.
What
do you mean?
Yeah, she did an interview with the Daily Mail, the UK newspaper, and said she's looking to sell her Hollywood Hills home because she is desperate to get a piece of land and start raising some livestock.
There's my girl.
What?
Says she longs to be home on the range. She
wants
to start breeding chickens and pigs, and she said she's desperate to find a piece of land so that she can live with her animals.
Usually people are in Hollywood for a few years before they want to flee it. Hasn't she been famous for about 6 months?
Well, she's been famous for a long time. I don't even know where she lives. She may live in two locations. She may live in Hollywood here in Los Angeles and also have a place in the UK, because I know she's dating Jason Statham as well. But,
oh, right, right. You know.
But she wants to start breeding chickens and pigs, she said.
That's how it starts,
you know? So it starts, chicken and pig. Next thing you know, you got llamas and millipedes and all kinds of honked up crap.
Bean was complaining last night because his freaking donkey won't die.
I can fix that for you.
That's what I told him.
With a snow shovel and a fire extinguisher, and it'll be all over.
You get a pet, and the contract is, hey, I'm going to take care of this animal till this animal dies. But he's 28 now, and it doesn't seem like he's never been sick a day in his life, and it seems like he's going to outlive me.
Did he sign the contract?
Well, no.
Okay, then break it.
Well, I don't know about
that. Yeah, he's an animal. You get to break the contract.
Right. 28 now, Ralph.
What does donkey taste like?
I wonder.
And while we're talking about delicious tastes, Naomi Campbell has gotten an official apology from the Cadbury Chocolate Company for their racist chocolate ad. I don't know if you guys heard about this story or not, but they put an ad out for their new candy bar, the Dairy Milk Bliss Chocolate Bar.
Yeah.
And it is the chocolate bar nestled on a bed of diamonds. And the copy of the ad reads, "Move over, Naomi. There's a new diva in town, the world's most pampered bar. Now in three new flavors." And they were obviously drawing a comparison between their chocolate bar and the pampered diva supermodel that is Naomi Campbell.
Sure.
Well, Naomi Campbell says it's racist because they are calling her a chocolate bar because she's black.
How is that racist?
Because, Kevin, they're calling her a chocolate bar.
I know, but if they called me a macadamia nut cookie, it wouldn't be racist.
You are a macadamia nut cookie.
A racist. Come on now.
She says it's upsetting to be described as chocolate, not just for me, but for all black women and all black people.
Oh. Are we racist, or do those guys look a lot alike?
So she's furious that she was referred to as chocolate. The Cadbury people said that wasn't the intent of the ad at all. They were talking about her fame and riches as a supermodel, not about the color of her skin.
That's the kindest thing that could be said about her in truth.
That's true. She's had so much trouble with the law. She's beaten policemen. She beat up her personal assistant with a phone. She's done some horrible, horrible things.
No flight attendant ever wants to work on a plane with her.
Yeah. Anyway, Cadbury's pulled the ad and they apologized.
Cadbury's weak.
They hope that Naomi's lawyers will accept this as a conclusion to the issue.
She's so ugly on the inside, I find it difficult to find her attractive, by the way.
Yeah.
She's one of those kind of women.
I'm too. I've had an ass full of her, but I just thought it was humorous. I mean, really? Is chocolate bar even a racist term? Has anyone ever called anyone a chocolate bar? Hey, listen.
Hey, no.
We don't want your chocolate bar kind of people around here. I don't think anyone's even used that. It doesn't even exist. Racist ever if someone called you a chocolate bar.
No one would ever say they don't want chocolate around.
No, chocolate rules.
It's not a possibility. It's the best thing in the world.
That's true. Today's celebrity birthdays, Robert Englund, probably best known. Well, who am I kidding? Only known for playing Freddy Krueger, really. I can't think of any other roles he's been in. 64 years old today. Playwright and actor Harvey Fierstein is 59 years old. Comedian Colin Quinn is 52. Tom Araya of Slayer is 50 years old today. Bassist Sean Yassault of White Zombie is 45. Paul Giamatti, very talented actor. He is 44 years old today. Monkey from Korn is 41. Singer Uncle Cracker. It's been a while since you heard from Uncle Cracker, isn't it?
Yeah. Not long enough.
He's 34 years old today. 37 years old. I'm going to get that correct for all the Uncle Cracker fans who are listening this morning. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We saw that Cage the Elephant Band over the weekend, and let me tell you, they are on something, or spastic, or high, or something, or having
all
a seizure.
Of the above.
I mean, the bizarre, crazy energy from that group. But that's a good tune right there. Bad Religion on the way. Also, the Foster the People Pumped Up Kick song and some Rage Against the Machine this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. Thanks for tuning in. Our man Omar joins us in the studio. Let me tell you something about Omar. Now, this is Bean speaking. I hate the people, right?
Yeah.
Omar and I chatted on Saturday, had an actual conversation.
We did, yeah. We hung
and,
out.
And it was okay.
Oh, thank you. It was okay. Wow. Thanks, for Bean.
For Bean, that's a glowing review.
That is true.
It was all right.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
How long was it, Omar, and how long did it seem?
It was only about 2 minutes. It seemed like 2 hours.
How dare you.
Yeah.
But Omar was very excited because we were at a hotel that was also hosting the Califur Convention, which is the California Furries. And this is an annual deal, and I guess they have them all over the country. And this is a big deal for people who dress up. What's the word?
Oh, I don't know how to pronounce that.
No one help him.
For sure.
Nobody help him. What are they, Bean? What are they?
I can't think of
the
word.
What's the name?
But anyway.
What does it sound like? What's the name sound like?
They dress up in like mascot costumes. And we were trying to figure out, is this a sexual turn-on for them? Or is this just role-playing so that they can like leave their dumb personalities behind?
Yeah.
And Omar, I guess, was the guy on the case to discover it for
Let
us.
Let me ask this question before Omar goes.
Yep.
How unlikely is it? Because Omar has cartoon hair.
Right. For everything.
For things that are just average. Like, no one hates them except for Omar.
Right.
He gets to the furries, and all of a sudden, he's super interested.
Yeah, absolutely. These guys are cool, dude.
And he doesn't want to make fun of them.
No.
Yeah. And he doesn't want to mock them.
Yeah.
What's happening here?
That is true. I don't know what happened. But, you know, they have such a sense of, belong there, and then that's why they do it, because they come together with people like themselves.
Yeah.
And why am I going to fault them for that, you know?
Because
you fault everybody for everything.
Right, you would poop on a nun because of her sense of belonging with the Lord. I mean, it just...
That's true. Well, the Lord's BS,
like
dude.
That's what I'm saying. Anyone who's not like you, you automatically have cartoon hate for
you. You know what that means? You know what that means.
Is that Omar is secretly a furry.
Yeah, how dare you.
He used to wear mesh, didn't you? Did he used to wear mesh?
I did. I did wear that.
These are his people.
Yeah. What do we need to know about these the series of interviews that we're about to hear?
The only thing you need to know is that, you know, I interviewed a lot of different people in costumes, people who were working on staff, and, basically I just went around and tried to find out what it was really about.
It's a chance to get in costume and run around and, you know, be this character for a few hours and entertain people and make people laugh and smile. And it's just fun.
Everybody's pretty open, you know. They don't shun people. It's not about fitting in. It's just being yourself. Everybody accepts you. Like, you don't have to worry about, oh, can I be myself or do I have to change to fit in?
Do you like your man hairy?
Yes.
So your man has a big ball fro? Do you guys both go El Natural?
No, not entirely. There's got to be some grooming, yeah.
Why is it that there's not a lot of female in the fandom?
It's a place for a lot of guys to feel safe. You know, in Western society, it's not cool to run around and go, you know, hey, look at me, I'm running around in a fursuit and a costume, you know, acting like a 12-year-old kid. So it's a good place for a lot of guys to just run around, act out their inner child, have a good time, and then go back to the real world.
Are you currently dating another furry?
This is actually my boyfriend right here.
Do you guys, you know, make whoopee using the costumes?
No.
No. Is that a bad thing?
That would be a horrendous amount of static.
No, unfortunately, the percentage that people think that furries actually will have, like, a sex party in their suits, it's actually a very small number. It's only about 7, maybe 6%.
What's the drug consumption around here?
We are strictly drug prohibited.
Bogus! I am out!
No, you're not. For one reason.
the drug that you like to say is going on here. No, it's just being feeling like we're being like we're welcome here.
You know, feeling welcome is overrated, dude. Give me some ecstasy. Give me some heroin. I want something.
There is one side to the Phantom, though, that is called the 421st.
Where are they at? Let's go. What is Yiffing?
Yiffing started out as a acronym, as a term used for young, incredibly effable fox.
Where are the yips at? I think it's a panda with a hula skirt. Could you speak through that thing?
Maybe.
Okay, it's a dude. I thought it was a chick. It's oddly very alluring, and he's touching me very inappropriately right now. He has a far away. Are you yiffing me?
Would you like me to?
I think I'm getting yiffed. There's so many reasons why people become furries. What's your main reason?
Actually, I have Asperger's syndrome, and is a very...
You know what? I have a friend who has Asperger's, and you know what? I mean, but his thing is sheep. He really wants a sheep. Do you know any furry costumes that are dressing up in sheep here today?
I have not seen one.
What attracts you to the fandom?
Yeah, cute fuzzy things.
I have a cute fuzzy thing. And I'm Middle Eastern. I'm hairy all over.
That is lovely to know.
It's not a sexual thing whatsoever.
How often are you having sex?
Very, very seldom, because it's not the focus of the relationship. The relationship is with a friend of mine online. We have a relationship going in a role play. It's not a relationship between us. We have a relationship between our characters. But it's the only thing closest to a relationship that I have right now.
So it's two male characters. So I'm correct in saying that you're gay?
I'm wondering. But the characters, yes. The characters, yes, they are.
Okay. that guy at the end was magic, dude.
My head is spinning with confusion over that
guy. You should have just settled it for him, Omar. You just have said, look, it's cool. Just say you're gay. That's fine. No one cares.
I know.
Those are great interviews, first of all. But here's what I don't get. This is what I was asking Omar on Saturday. Where are the hot regular people who it just happen to enjoy this role playing, this
there
character
aren't
playing?
Any.
But there have to be.
Yeah, that's what you would think. There aren't
none, dude. And they're all because like 90% fat, dude.
90% are Dungeons and Dragons in the basement. This is the only time I ever interact with people where I don't get the crap beaten out of me.
I like that it's pretty acceptable and that I don't get made fun of when I go out in public and everybody seems to like me. Omar.
Really? This is the first? Is this the first thing Omar has ever accepted?
Yes, it is. Maybe. But here's why Omar can't be a furry. He's a good-looking dude. It would be impossible.
Well, he can gain weight.
If he were a furry, he would be the best-looking furry in history.
He can gain weight. He could gain, like, if he gained 100 pounds, he could be a furry. And by the way, how many women were there? Because I would have guessed they were all dudes.
You know, it's probably like 95% dudes, 5% chicks. Yeah.
All those chicks just must be so lonely. You'd think they'd be like the focus of the whole thing, and they'd have their pick of men.
No,
I think I think the guys, even in character, did not have the self confidence to approach women. Though the girls that I saw, it seemed like they were, you know, they were not being approached. So
I think next time this investigation needs to go from the inside. I think Omar, we need Omar in a full costume. Oh please, like you wouldn't love that, Omar.
Oh, yeah, I'm in.
All right,
Lisa, tell me about the guy that you talked to. What was he wearing?
Oh, my sherbet colored dog.
Okay, so you went over. You wanted to pet the dog.
Yeah, and, I took a picture and I put my hand on his shoulder. He was like soaking wet. But I mean, it was a cool costume. And then I said, "Wow, look, you're really sweating in there." And he's like, "Yes, I am. It's very hot." And it just ruined the whole thing.
Did he say
that's not sweat?
Gross.
Good times. Nice job, Omar. Hey, party people, thanks a lot for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. At the top of the next hour, by the way, we're going to talk to a 17-year-old who is in something called the Explorers Grand Slam. They're climbing like every mountain in the world, and they're going to the North Pole, the South Pole. He's like 17.
Yeah.
What's that guy got going on? It's crazy. Anyway, that's coming up the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, I'm not really ready for presidential politics to be on my TV.
I'm never going to be ready for it again.
I know. The election is a year and a half away, and you already can't turn on your television without seeing Sarah Palin, who isn't even running, yet she gets covered 24/7 on every channel there is.
But there's no doubt she's going to run, is there?
I don't know. Right. I don't know. This could be like the Donald Trump thing, where you talk about it because you get so much coverage, and then eventually you don't. I don't know. But anyway, there was a little bit of controversy over Ms. Palin in one of her appearances over the weekend. Here's the news report.
It appears Sarah Palin may need to brush up on her American history. She visited the Old North Church today here in Boston, the focal point of Paul Revere's historic ride, but it sounds like she got a bit confused on the details.
He who warned the
the British that they weren't going to be taking away our arms by ringing those bells and making sure as he's riding his horse through town to send those warning shots and bells that we were going to be secure and we were going to be free.
Okay, so look, I don't care whether Sarah Palin knows anything about Paul Revere. I think this is an unbelievably stupid distraction. I don't care if she's ever even heard of Paul Revere. You don't need to have heard of Paul Revere to be president, okay? And I hate to be defending Sarah Palin, but I really am here. I think this is ridiculous.
Yes, but where was she?
What do you mean, where was she?
Where was she?
She was in Boston.
At the building or
yes,
wherever?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So she was where it happened.
Right, exactly.
It takes, what, 30 seconds to just brush up on what happened?
So she did defend herself. She was back on Fox News. Chris Wallace asked her about it also over the weekend.
You realize that you messed up about Paul Revere, don't you?
You know what? I didn't mess up about Paul Revere. Here's what Paul Revere did. He warned the Americans that the British were coming. The British were coming, and they were going to try to take our arms. So we got to make sure that we were protecting ourselves and shoring up all of our ammunition and our firearms so that they couldn't take it. But remember that the British had already been there, many soldiers, for 7 years in that area. And part of Paul Revere's ride, and it wasn't just one ride, he was a courier, he was a messenger. Part of his ride was to warn the British that were already there that, hey, you're not going to succeed. You're not going to take American arms. You are not going to beat our own well-armed persons, individual private militia that we have. He did warn the British. And in a shout-out, gotcha type of question that was asked of me, I answered candidly, and I know my American history.
I could listen to her all day.
She's great. That's a good thing you can listen to her all day because we have her on the phone.
What? The former governor of the great state of Alaska, Sarah Palin, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Oh, hi, guys. How are you? So nice to talk to the lamestream media with your gotcha questions.
Let me just start with that. How is that a gotcha question?
Because here's the thing. I'm traveling across these great United States in my big old American bus. And
right.
I'm trying to tell people it's important to know about America and Americana and how how we got through so many hard times. And then some journalists ask you, oh, what did Paul Revere do? And I'm like, oh, gosh, that's a gotcha question because I'm in Boston where he was doing those things.
Right, but I think what Kevin is asking, if you're going to go to the Statue of Liberty and you're going to go to Mount Rushmore, wherever the hell you've taken this bus tour, it wouldn't kill you to spend a minute kind of knowing what that location is all about that you're highlighting.
Well, here's the thing. Like the great President Lincoln did when he invented the town car. He said, I'm going to drive all around this great country of ours in this big, spacious automobile, and I don't care about the militias or how much gasoline costs because it doesn't matter. It's all about America and God bless
I don't think the Lincoln Continental was created by President Lincoln.
Sure,
I don't
it
think
was.
That's...
It was President Lincoln. Listen, I know my American history,
right.
And he invented the town car because he needed a way to get to Gettysburg because he got the wrong address. Someone gave him the Gettysburg address, and it was the wrong one.
No, the Gettysburg Address, Ms. Palin, was a speech that he gave about the Battle of Gettysburg.
I know my American history, and it was like when Benjamin Franklin invented the $100 bill. He said, I need more money to spend, so I'm going to make this a big bill, and this way we can give more money to people and less to the government. That's what he wanted to do.
They honored Benjamin Franklin after his death by putting his face on the money. That's
because,
what happened.
Well, why not? He invented it. I think we should give him some credit, don't you think?
But this is just like when you got confused between Lexington, Massachusetts and Lexington, New Hampshire a couple of weeks ago. I mean, you keep kind of stepping your foot in it because you're talking about things that you really don't have much of a working knowledge of.
And Lexington Luther. That was the real one that confused
yes,
me, too. I didn't know Superman was real until that one.
But Superman is not real.
When Nixon chopped down the cherry tree, they told him, listen, I don't care what you did before. It's what you do now. And that's what matters. It's a militia of people that get together and they eat the cherries after they come off the tree, and everyone uses the pits in a different way. Sometimes life's the pits and sometimes it's the cherries.
But maybe spend a little less time talking about the past and a little more time talking about the future if you want people to take you seriously as a presidential candidate.
Well, it's like Thomas Washington said to George Jefferson when he was on the Jeffersons. You have a cleaners, and yet you're moving on up to the east side, George Jefferson. Right. That's what he said. And when he was the vice president, the next thing you know, Archie Bunker comes in, and he's all racist. And we don't need that in this country. We need more people who do more.
You're not racist, but you are trying to fire the black man, though, right? That's what your job is here,
well,
is to become president.
President, that's just craziness, don't you think?
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 20 minutes till 7 o'clock. You saw the song, and then it occurred to you. I saw the gears working in your head. You went, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to talk now.
I was trying to finish my M&M. Sorry.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Ralph Garman is back from vacation. He'll have the Showbiz Beat again for us coming up in about 10 minutes. I'm so excited for this book that I have not yet seen, but it is available now. Those guys have all the fun inside the world of ESPN. We are delighted to welcome co-author Jim Miller to the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Jim, how are you, man?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, we're delighted, and I got to tell you, I ate up with a spoon your Saturday Night Live book. I thought that oral history you did of Saturday Night Live was one of the most entertaining things I ever read, and I'm so excited that you did this ESPN thing. And obviously, you liked the process of going out and interviewing hundreds of people to put a story together. You're willing to do it again, right?
Well, I only did 560 for this book.
Oh, wow. Why does the story of ESPN need to be told? For most of us, we just take it for granted. ESPN is there and they do what they do, but obviously you thought there was a lot more that needed to be shared. What's up?
Well, there's two different through lines, really. One is the reason why it's so successful. If you want to really look at the place and think about it as being this kind of cloaked in inevitability, there's nothing inevitable about it. There's some incredible surprises along the way. There are a couple of times when it almost crashed and burned. There were times when it was on the intensive care table with paddles. And I just thought that was a pretty interesting business story. But also, there's some incredible personalities that come up in the business story. So it's not like, you know, dry finances and everything else. But the second part, which was the more intriguing part, which is like the Saturday Night Live book, which is getting to know these people, getting to know, you know, Chris Berman, Keith Olbermann, Dan Patrick, Bill Simmons, you know, Tony Kornheiser, Mike Tirico, all these people in ways that we don't get to know them when they're on the TV. Because when you think about it, when they're on the TV, they're presenting themselves the way they want to present themselves. When you sit down and interview them and you kind of challenge them with some questions and you kind of start to peel back some of the stuff that they've been through and some of those moments that we didn't even know existed off camera, that's when you get to know them at a different level. And I think that was, at least for me, that was the fun of doing this book.
Take me back to the early days of ESPN. It's hard for us to imagine now that they didn't exist, but what did they have? I mean, did they start off with contracts for any professional sports, or did they not even have games to put on in the early years?
They had a contract, a badly worded contract with the NCAA, which actually led them to do something which was pretty cool. They wound up airing the early rounds of the NCAA tournament when nobody else was airing them. And back then, they didn't even have a cable in their house, but some people were going to hotels that had cable just so they could watch the early rounds of the NCAA tournament.
Wow.
Have, you know, the money to spend on the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball or whatever. So they started doing other things. I mean, yes, there was Australian rules football and slow pitch softball, but they did things like airing the NFL draft, airing the early rounds of the NCAA tournament, and that wound up being a great thing for them.
Did they stumble into success, or was it really a brilliantly followed plan?
I think that there wasn't a brilliantly followed plan. I think there was a series of decisions made through the years that each time they got to a different level. And I think that was one of the other surprises to focus on, how they made this journey to success, because there was nothing preordained about it.
We're talking to Jim Miller. He's the co-author, along with the great writer Tom Shales, of a book that's in stores now called Those Guys Have All the Fun Inside the World of ESPN, which, by the way, Father's Day is next weekend. Can you imagine a better gift for most dads out there?
Yeah, no kidding.
Tell us about some of the people beyond the personalities that we've come to know and love from the present and the past on ESPN. You talk to so many people, including the president, but athletes.
You talk to President Obama?
Well, actually, I was carrying my cell phone around nonstop for a couple of weeks because I was told he was going to call. And then all of a sudden, we got some answers to questions from an email that he did on a way back from a foreign trip. But I was delighted either. Anyway, it was great
by the way,
to have him included. And he had some really cool ideas.
He should stop going on ESPN to give his NCAA basketball picks, though. He's terrible. Every time he comes on, I can't run far enough away from his picks. Isn't he the worst? But tell me about some of the did you I mean, I know you interviewed a ton of athletes. Was ESPN a huge deal for most, you know, the people who are 30 now? They grew up on ESPN. They've watched ESPN their whole life. Was it a big deal for them to be ESPN? That was something that was important in their lives?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned the athletes. It was funny for me to hear from a bunch of athletes that sometimes when they did a play, they were thinking, oh, my gosh, is that going to make the SportsCenter top 10 list tonight?
Really?
You know, or that... I've gotten to the point in my career where I'm going to be asked to be in one of those This is SportsCenter commercials. You know, I mean, that turned out to be that just shows the growth of ESPN, because this place became such a big part of the culture, and particularly the sports culture in America, that athletes were thinking in those terms. Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon talk about when Pardon the Interruption started, they actually heard from many coaches that they had changed their team's practice times so the coaches could watch the show.
What? Jim, did ESPN suffer any of the fallout, any collateral damage from their participation in the LeBron James decision show?
It depends who you talk to. I mean, I think they did. I think they took a hit in terms of just the patina of the network. But there are people there who think, listen, we got a great rating, and, you know, who cares? Who cares what the critics think?
LeBron maybe looked bad, but I don't know that they did.
Well, I think a lot of people thought they looked bad because, first of all, there was a huge discrepancy between what they were telling people and what actually happened. And I think that, you know, they were putting words in Jim Gray's mouth, and there was a whole, you know, kind of disparity of opinion about what the program was actually going to be. And I think that wound up kind of coming back to bite them.
What have been the most, or if you can name at least one or two of the most controversial things that have happened on the air, where there were some high-level meetings where they said, guys, we've really stepped it this time. We've got a problem.
I'll give you a real quick one, which was Rush Limbaugh talking about Donovan McNabb. ESPN made the decision. A lot of people were scratching their heads about it, but they made the decision to bring Rush Limbaugh on as part of their NFL coverage. He made a comment about Donovan McNabb, which some people interpreted as racist. And mm-hmm. one of the cool things to report on for the book was just how much, it's just exactly what you just said, just how much was going on behind the scenes that we didn't know about during that critical week that led to Rush's departure from the network. And, I mean, Tom Jackson, who was a big member of the NFL team, he was threatened to quit. Mark Shapiro, who was the guy who was running programming and production, was very upset about the fact that nobody really listened to Rush at the time and confronted him about his ideas, so he didn't feel like anybody was being really responsive to what Rush was saying at the time. I talked to Limbaugh, talked to Chris Berman, talked to Tom Jackson, Mark Shapiro. Everybody kind of weighs in on it, and it's a very interesting dialogue because it's not only about racism, but it's more about journalism and interviewing.
Who made the decision to bring in Rush Limbaugh? That guy should be fired. Hey, he didn't work for you, Kevin. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm just saying. What a terrible decision that was.
Well, I mean, he was a huge football fan.
So what? And I am too. I shouldn't be on ESPN.
And he was an enormously popular person with many people in America. They probably thought, hey, we'll bring in even a different audience than we normally get on ESPN. I imagine, right, Jim? That's what they were thinking, is let's get some of those ditto heads to start tuning into the games because they love Rush so much.
And not only that, but here's the weird thing about ESPN. I mean, obviously it happens in TV as well, but sometimes you just never know. I mean, look, Howard Cosell was quoted once as saying, oh my God, look at Tony Kornheiser's face. How can anybody think about putting him on TV? But at the same time, there's Tony. He's, on PTI. I mean, they got one of the most successful shows on television.
Absolutely. Well, obviously there's a fascinating story to be told. It sounds like you turned over every stone that needed to be for this new book. In stores now called Those Guys Have All the Fun Inside the World of ESPN. If you go to Amazon.com and books and just type in ESPN, I'm sure it's the first thing that comes up. Jim Miller, co-author of the book, and the website is thoseguyshavealthefun.com. Awesome to have you on, man. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, thanks so much.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Go now. You go.
Kevin?
You go.
Oh, hey.
Now
are you dozing?
Go.
What's
what
happening?
Is he doing?
It's,
I was on the computer. It's
6:53.
How's everybody
off the
doing?
Do a radio show. Do that instead.
I didn't get much sleep last night, right?
I don't care.
Ralph's been back an hour.
You're ruining the day for the rest of us.
Ralph's been back an hour. He's already screaming at you.
Do
what's going
your
on?
Job.
Welcome back, Ralph.
Do your job.
Do you? Does this happen when you're off? Ralph was off filming a movie last week. Does this happen when the director says action
and some guy is just standing there like daydreaming?
No, it's amazing. People on a film set do their jobs. They show up and they're professionals and everyone has their job to do and everyone does it. And the whole thing works like a well-oiled machine.
That's a ridiculous way to run your life.
It's like I go into shock when I'm on a movie set because everyone's buzzing around and they've got talent and they're doing what they're supposed to do and it all comes together and it works. It's a very foreign climate. For me to be in, quite frankly.
Yeah. Well, welcome back to Amateur Hour.
Yeah. Hey, the computer. How do I know I'm on radio? Computer, don't tell me I'm on radio.
That's true, by the way. It didn't tell me.
Oh, man.
All right. Let's try to move on from the ugliest and find out what's going on in the world of the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Before I get to showbiz news, I do have passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Green Lantern.
Oh, you're so excited.
This is the movie I've been most excited about. All of all the summer blockbusters, this is the one that really
I'm. But weren't you equally excited for Green Hornet, though, Ralph?
No.
And look how that worked out.
No, I was dubious about Green Hornet because Seth Rogen, I had heard some stuff. It just seemed to me perhaps I could be disappointed, but I don't think I'm going to be disappointed by Green Lantern. I am super excited about this. It all happens on Thursday, June the 16th. If you'd like to attend the very special advanced screening of Green Lantern, I'm not just going to give these tickets away. Oh, no. Oh, no, my friends. You're going to earn these if you'd like to go. I've got, let's give away two pairs right now, two pairs of passes. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call in. All you need to do is be one of the first two people who can get through and recite the Green Lantern Oath. That's all you got to do. Just do that. Just recite it. What's the oath that the Green Lantern uses when he recharges his ring, his power ring, on the power battery? That's
what
all you need
a nerd
to know.
Fest this That's is going to be.
You don't. You go back to your computer.
Oh man!
That's all you need
already,
to do.
We already spoke with the furries earlier in the hour. We don't need them calling us now.
These aren't furries, man. These are my comic book people.
You need that. You need your pocket protector. Back to you, Ralph.
Speaking of movies, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We always do on a Monday. X-Men First Class. Speaking of superhero movies, $56 million in its debut made it number one this weekend. The Hangover Part 2 was number two. Kung Fu Panda 2 was third. Pirates of the Caribbean 4 was fourth. Bridesmaids came in at number five. Then Thor, Fast 5, Midnight in Paris, Jumping the Broom, and Something Borrowed came in at the top 10 of your movies this weekend. Piers Morgan and his wife, Cela, are apparently expecting their first child sometime in November, he just announced.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old is he? Do we know?
He is 46 years old.
Oh, that's a little older than many people to become a first-time parent.
This is his first child with this particular woman.
Oh, I see.
He's got three sons from his first marriage, so he's been a dad for some time now. More relationship news. Adrian Curry and Christopher Knight have split up. He, of course, was Peter of the Brady Bunch. She was a model from...
how could that not work out?
America's Next Top Model, and they met on The Surreal Life. That's where they first fell in love, when they were both sort of has-beens living in the Surreal Life house.
Didn't she browbeat him into marriage? I mean, wasn't that the...
Yeah.
Okay. And they had a reality show about that, how she was insisting that they get married, and she was in love, and they were a very entertaining reality show couple. Apparently,
and she's hot.
The relationship did not work out, however.
Hmm.
Adrian and Christopher Knight are getting divorced, but apparently she is not mourning the loss of the relationship too badly. She was seen by RadarOnline.com this weekend drinking Jägermeister straight out of a bottle in a Chicago nightclub and making out with a well-endowed blonde woman.
All right.
So she's somehow getting over the heartbreak of her relationship ending.
I've had a lot of Jaeger. I've never had it right out of the bottle.
Never drank it right out of the bottle?
It doesn't seem like that's the way you want Jaeger.
Oh, no, that's bad stuff.
Yeah.
Music news. Adele has canceled the rest of her North American tour.
Too fat.
Oh, that's harsh. That is
I know. I actually love her music.
I can tell. I can tell
how
much you love her.
That was just a joke. I do.
Too fat. She had to scrap five shows last week due to laryngitis, but her condition got worse, and doctors say there's no way she can sing every night without doing permanent damage to her voice. So she's got to get off the road. this concert may or may not be rescheduled. You're going to have to look at her official website for more details. But sad news.
There's a lot of talk about this singer, Adele.
Yes.
Yeah, talented, but everybody knows she's fat, right?
It doesn't mean you can't sing just because she's you're a little heavier than the average.
I like her music. She's a good singer.
Ashley Simpson-Wentz is thin.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, what's the point here? What are we talking about?
That's
I think Adele's
point.
Also very pretty. She has a very pretty face.
I do, too.
And by the way, when Kevin says she's fat, I think he's joking.
I am joking.
Because isn't she like, what is she, like a 14 or something, Lisa?
She's average.
Yeah, she's average.
I think she looks good.
But her eyes are bunkers, too.
Nope.
No? Not her. Bunkers eyes?
No, her eyes are fine.
What is the Green Lantern oath? That's what I'm asking you. All you need to do
I'm sad that these people are listening to our show.
Recite the Green Lantern oath. Let's talk to Esty, shall we? Esty?
Hello?
Hello, sir. Can you recite for me the Green Lantern oath?
Yeah. In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight.
That's right.
Let those who worship evil's might.
Bring it home.
Beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
Ah!
Awesome. You, sir, are a loser.
You are not a loser. You're a big winner, Esty. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details. But you are getting a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Green Lantern. You'll see it before anybody else.
Great, thanks.
This is going to be
Hold
a good
on,
week.
Stop it. Stop it right now.
Well, it is.
Look, I know you have doubts about the movie, Kevin, but at least...
No, the movie looks
at
great.
At least Ryan Reynolds is in it.
I think the movie looks great, and I like Ryan Reynolds, by the way.
I get that.
I do.
Mark Strong, Sinestro, Blake Lively.
Oh, now we're talking.
I'm going to wear a yellow shirt, though, to the screening. Is it going to show?
Hey, Ralph, you weren't with us last week, so we didn't get a chance to hear
forcefully.
Your take. But
no.
Blake Lively nude photos, her or not her?
Oh, of course
Photoshopped
it's
Photoshopped or real?
No, come on. There's 50 of them now. I mean, the proof is right there. I don't care what her reps say.
Yeah, her people are insisting she never took naked photos and it's not
well,
her,
that
blah, blah,
they
blah,
said
blah.
That the first round. And then the hacker sent out a second round of 17 pictures with the text on it saying, oh, really? Not real? How about these?
Always,
and they haven't commented on the second round yet. Maybe they're learning to keep their mouths shut so they don't incite any more hostility from this hacker.
We went to the world's greatest authority on all things nude, Mr. Skin, and he told us absolutely it's Blake Lively.
Well, she's
and
got
there's
the
no question in his mind.
Fake tattoos on her chest from The Town, the movie she made with Ben Affleck. I mean, there's just too much proof.
Even if it's not her, those pictures are so good, she should say it's her.
Absolutely. She probably doesn't look that good naked if it's not
right.
her.
Right.
And you don't threaten to sue if the photos aren't you, by the way. That's what was weird to me. The representative said, it is absolutely not her. We don't know who that woman is. It's not Blake Lively, but if you publish those pictures, we're going to sue you. Like, oh, you're suing on the behalf of a stranger, a person you don't know? It made no sense. So absolutely, it's her, and they're spectacular. Today's celebrity birthdays. Robert Englund is 64 years old. Today, Sandra Bernhardt, the actress and comedian, is 56. Harvey Fierstein, 59 years old. Comedian Colin Quinn is 52. Paul Giamatti celebrates his 44th birthday. He's in Hangover 2. You can see him in that film
currently.
Yes, he is. Uncle Cracker's 37 years old today. In brightest day or darkest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power.
What's happening?
Green Lantern's light!
What's happening?
Oh, I can't wait for this week. It's going to be fun.
What a dork fest.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, next hour, we're going to be looking for your stories of self-surgery. I always enjoy that topic when that comes out. That should be fun.
Because it's always a bad idea.
It is. Kevin, what were you doing? Think back if you can. What were you doing when you were 19 years old? Do you remember?
19 years old. I was throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Right. That's exactly where you. So, yeah. You, in other words, you weren't climbing the tallest mountains in the world, base jumping, surfing, skateboarding.
I wasn't dreaming of it. I wasn't thinking maybe that's a possibility someday.
You weren't skydiving into the North Pole. You weren't doing any of those types of things like our next guest.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Strange joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I think this may be the first time we've ever talked to you. Johnny, welcome to the program, man. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm good. How are you?
Well, we appreciate having you on. You have an unbelievable life. What are the seven summits that you had climbed by age 17? These are the seven tallest mountains of the world, or the tallest mountain on each continent?
The tallest mountain on each continent.
What are they? Can you name them?
Aconcagua in South America, Denali in North America, Mount Everest in Asia, Kilimanjaro in Africa, Kosciuszko in Australia, Elbrus in Europe. What else am I? That's when you know it's a problem.
He's climbed so many mountains that he doesn't even remember.
Just can't remember them all.
No, it's just Well, I started when I was 12. Mount Vinson in Antarctica is what I started with.
Okay, why don't we take it there? You're 12 years old. How do you get into a position where you can climb the tallest mountain in Antarctica? I mean, how do you even afford to get into a hobby like that?
Well, both my parents, I climb and do a bunch of extreme sports, and when they got divorced, I was kind of out of control when I was a little kid, mm-hmm. and my dad wanted to take me to kind of like see if it could calm me down a little bit. But the whole thing was I was never supposed to be able to climb it, and because the youngest person to climb was I was, and all the climb.
Oh, I think we're losing you here, Johnny. Are you on a cell phone?
What?
Are you on a cell phone? I think we're losing you.
Oh no, sir, I'm on a landline.
Oh, okay. There you go. Sounds good now. Sounds good. So your dad saw that you were a little out of control, so he thought, hey, this will teach the kid some focus and some discipline, give him something to concentrate on, and hopefully he'll fall in love with it like I have, and apparently you have, right?
Well, yes, sir. And I also got really fueled by people thinking I couldn't do stuff. I mean, like being I was 12 and nobody thought I could climb it, and after I got to the top, I wanted to keep proving people wrong, and then I said, all right, let me climb Everest. And they didn't really, you know, I had to climb a bunch of other mountains first, and then I really fell in.
You don't understand. The reason most people think that you couldn't do it is because most people can't do it. They're right in thinking that.
I disagree. I disagree. I think most people can do it and could do it. I mean, in my opinion, a lot of things like this are more mental than people give it credit for. That's why I switch sports so much. Like, I base jump and big wave surf and tow and skate and do all these crazy things, and you would think looking at them like, oh, they're so different, but in my opinion they're all really, really similar because they're all mental. In my opinion, you know, everything is really closely related in the mental aspect, and if you apply your mind correctly you can pretty much do anything.
See, this is why it's good to be young, though, Kevin, is because he still believes that. He hasn't had it crushed out of him like we have, where we're lucky to get dressed in the morning and make it to work.
Yeah, but I wasn't raised by Sherpas, so.
How old are you now?
I'm 19, sir.
19. Stop calling us sir.
Sorry. It's a bad habit. Hey, I call my boss sir, so it's a bad habit.
But
my day
no
off.
One calls us sir. Zero people. 19, but aren't you going to run out of things to do by the time you're at 21?
Yeah, you got to pace yourself, dude. You don't want to peak too early, and then you look around and you go, I've done it all. I mean, what are you going to start getting into scuba diving next and see if you can go to the lowest point on the ocean floor?
Well, I started scuba diving when I was a little younger.
Well, of course you did. Of course you did.
No, I got a crazy story for you guys, though, that happened to me yesterday.
Okay.
Okay, so Sundays and Mondays are my day off from work. I work at a motorcycle shop, Beverly Hills Ducati. Right. And so yesterday I'm riding the canyons, right? And I see a motorcycle kind of crashed. And I get off my bike and I was going to move it, and I noticed gas was leaking. And I swear to God, this is all on film, too, else I wouldn't say it because you probably wouldn't believe me. And then
we would believe.
And then I start looking around, and I hear kind of like moaning down the cliff. And I head down the cliff and find a girl like way down the cliff who crashed the motorcycle, flew off the cliff and landed like way down. And I climbed down there and called 911 and then sat with her until like the helicopters and stuff came. And it was the gnarliest thing.
That's a normal Sunday for you, isn't it?
It's only crazy because it's all on video. Like I have a YouTube channel where I do a lot of extreme sports and then try to divert the attention of charity. And luckily, it just so happened to be that this got on film, so it was a pretty trippy video.
If people go to YouTube, they could search for Johnny Strange?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. And that'll come up.
Stop calling us, sir.
All right, listen, Johnny. Sorry, this is Johnny Strange, JohnnyStrange.com, by the way. We're talking to the reason we were pitched Johnny, the reason we were excited to have him on the show is he is getting ready to do it. Like, he hasn't done enough already at 19, but he is getting ready to attempt the Explorers Grand Slam. Now, what is that, Johnny?
That's the seven summits, the tallest mountain on every continent, and then the South and North Pole.
Okay, so you don't have to do those again. You get credit for already climbing all those mountains, right?
Yep. And then I recently was at the South Pole and I got naked like 2 months ago.
At the South. It wasn't enough to be at the South Pole. You had to get naked.
Okay, well,
an exciting day for me is turning right on red without stopping. Okay, that's a thrill ride for me. And you're freaking naked at the South Pole?
Well, okay. What? My whole thing is like, I'm completely unsponsored. Because, you know, before I climbed Everest, I'd call Red Bull, I'd call all these major sponsors and be like, hey, I'm doing this, this, and this, and none of them actually thought I could do it, is the funny part. And then I get back from Everest and the Seven Summits, and, you know, I'm doing press tour or whatever. And again, you know, I hit up these sponsors and say, hey, I got a bunch of more stuff I'm wanting to do. And then they're like, oh, you're kind of done at 17. So right now I'm completely unsponsored.
That's unbelievable.
Crazy. No, nobody thinks I can ever do anything, literally. The parents. And then, the car surfing thing happened. And then
why aren't you? I mean, why?
Sponsors want me to go away. Nobody thinks I can do anything. It's kind of like,
dude,
you know,
you need an agent. You need a really good sports agent.
No.
Somebody
should be
out there
thing,
making it happen.
At this point in my life, I'm just gonna put in hard work in the motorcycle shop, save up my money, and break all these records on my own. And I can get naked at the South Pole, and I can, you know, I can say
yeah,
what I want.
I
don't have to be some like sponsored person like all of them.
Bean watches TV 24 hours a day, and he has a couch sponsor. It's not that hard.
I don't know, man. I have no idea.
We're almost out of time, but since you are local, you have to come into the studio, and we need to spend more time with you and hear some more details about the stuff that you've done. Would you do that? Would you come back on
a
future Kevin Bean show?
Dude, it'd be such an honor. I love you guys. I'm a fan.
We need to have you come in because, I mean, no one that listens to us right now goes, yesterday I was riding a motorcycle and somebody fell down a cliff and I went down and I was videotaping it. Nobody has those stories.
And I want to hear about, I mean, I can't even imagine what you can even see if you're skydiving at the North Pole. I mean, I have so many questions about your life and I'd rather hear you do it than actually have to do anything myself. So that's how I
All right, well, go to YouTube and check out that video and all that stuff. And any time I have the privilege of coming into your guys' studio, I will be
okay. Well, we'll have producer Alex give you a call and then we'll set it up. JohnnyStrange.com is the website. The Explorers Grand Slam is what's happening. Johnny, awesome to talk to you, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
It was an honor to talk to you guys, too. Hope to see you soon.
Take care, dude.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 27 minutes after 7 o'clock.
What do you mean you have to get away from me? What is that? What, I don't even understand.
What
do you mean you say I have to get away from Bean? I heard you saying that to Birma. What do you mean by
a little Bean goes a long ways.
That's all. I thought we had a fun weekend.
We did have a fun weekend. We went to, of course, the Weenie Roast was on Saturday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then we came up to San Francisco where we are today for Live 105's BFD.
Right, which was also a great time. I thought we had a fun time.
Linkin Park played both. Great. Yeah,
amazing.
Snoop played last night. That was good.
We were this close, Lisa May, to going out on stage and dancing with Snoop's backup singers.
Oh, that would have been so cool.
We're really close.
We're really close to walking out on stage and just shaking that ass.
And Saturday night, the Foo Fighters came out. They were the surprise band, and they just kicked
ass. They
really killed. And it was so good to see them, and it was so fun to watch the stage turn and watch everybody realize that they're there and just go crazy. He's one of those guys. He's one of the few guys that everyone in the whole place was excited
everybody
to see.
Everybody loves. But I look at this weekend, I go, we did nothing but see awesome bands all weekend long. How can you have anything to complain about?
Well, I'll get to that in a minute. I don't even know if we have time for that today. I might need to get my thoughts together.
What are you talking about?
We might need to talk about time with Bean tomorrow.
How dare you?
I need some hindsight on that one.
How dare you?
But I do want to talk about Miss Double December because
we may have
a problem.
I did not see the beautiful Christine this weekend.
Oh, I saw her a lot.
Did you see a lot of her?
Yes.
Okay, tell me more.
And I believe that it's possible she'll be on the next Celebrity Rehab.
Oh.
She was really drunk when I saw her first. And that was, I don't know, 5 o'clock, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
And she said, I got a boob job. And I said, what are you talking about? You're our Miss Double December.
You're already a double D when you got the job in December. You don't need a boob job.
So she said, well, I was already under for surgery, so I just said, go ahead and make them bigger. So I thought, well, what surgery would you already be under for? I mean, are they working on your stomach? Or mm-hmm. She said, no, I my nose was broken, so I had to get my nose fixed. And I said, so you were having nose surgery, and you thought, go ahead and make my boobs bigger while you're nowhere near them.
Lisa, would that ever occur to you?
No,
you were getting your nose fixed?
No.
So she has. So now she has Fs. I don't know that.
Oh, my God.
Maybe we should make her Miss February, right? And
yes.
Then get another Miss Double December. Then we can have two at the same time.
She's Miss F now.
Yeah, so she was drinking and having a great time. And then I saw her, from my seats, I saw her working her way down. And you always see these people. They step over the seats and they kind of bump into people. Sorry. And they try to work their way down into the pit. And mm-hmm. I knew that's what she was doing. And she went down and she slipped over the thing and she got into the pit. She was dancing and moshing and people were knocking her over and she was just feeling no pain.
I can't imagine, honestly, any hot girl would want to go into the pit with those animals? Wouldn't you just think that you would get nothing but groped by people who were quote-unquote moshing?
Did you hear the part where I met her at 5?
Yeah, she was already. She wasn't exercising the best judgment in the world at that point.
So she was in the pit waving back at her friend like, hey, I'm in the pit. And security saw her and they came over and they kicked her out.
Was she wearing her sash and her tiara?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God bless her. I love her so much.
Best of December. And she's sneaking into the pit and all this stuff.
That's not the way to be low-key, by the way, and under the radar.
And I thought I could probably get her a pass if she wants to be in the pit, but it was more fun to watch her. So they kicked her out, and then she went to the other side, and she was climbing over the thing. She was getting back in the pit. She ended up in the pit again.
Wow.
And I would guarantee you she remembers none of that. We tried to call her, and I'm guessing she's probably in a hospital someplace recovering.
But that's sad.
She might be the best Miss Double December.
We've never
ever
had a Miss Double December die during her reign, by the way. She may be the first.
I don't know.
Do we even remember who the runner-up was so we can call that person to step in if need be?
Nope.
I don't know, but I will tell you this. I ran into Psycho Mike backstage, and Psycho Mike said, I know we've never done this before, and it's going to sound weird, but we should allow Miss Double December to run again.
Mm-hmm.
Like an incumbent for the president.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure, she could be beaten.
Because Christina's so awesome?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Sure, she could be beaten, but she can still run, which we've never done. So we're going to have a meeting of the Rules Committee. I don't know how that works, but I think I'm on board with that.
I think she's too old now.
Oh, you're crazy.
She's a year older.
You didn't see her Saturday.
I'm just kidding.
You see her climbing over a roll of tears and moshing and jumping up and getting kicked out and getting back down and getting kicked back out again. And she's magic.
That's good times.
We need to keep her forever.
Anyway, go to, by the way, for recaps on both shows, obviously go to kevinandbean.com and you can see tons and tons and tons of pictures and whatnot. Great weekend, and it's nice. You know, we talk about this all the time. You feel like you're living on a tiny little island and the rest of the world is all Lady Gaga and Black Eyed Peas. It's so nice that you have the opportunity once in a while to come together and go, rock and roll exists.
Still alive.
And there are still people who love it. Which I think you need that. You need that boost of confirmation every once in a while that you're not alone in that feeling. But a great weekend. But we're going to spoil every good memory you ever had about that with the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 20 minutes till 8 o'clock.
Now, I know your inclination, Ralph, is to run from the room.
No, why? This is the greatest bit on the show.
You always miss the punchline, and Bean and I think that's why you don't like it.
You need to stick around when we call the Wheel of Bad Animal Voice. That's what I'm saying. But what I'm telling you is stick through this because we've got Eddie Ift coming in the show later on this week. J.J. Abrams apparently is going to be joining us.
What?
Blink-182 is coming in. Our friend Adam Carolla. I mean, we got a lot of – what I'm saying is a lot of good things on the show this week on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Move on to those then and go right past the bad things.
Including – Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
No.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Is that Ralph doesn't understand there are a lot of animals in the news, and what we do is we take that extra step past reading the article and get the animals on the phone to find out what's really going on.
Oh, you just ruined the surprise, by the way, now. You said that the animals pick up the phone.
Usually call the place where the animal is to talk to a human being about it.
That's what happens.
Come on, pay attention.
All right, what's on the wheel today, Kevin?
We have the heavy metal Aussie great white shark.
Crap.
We have the slutty horse with herpes.
I want to talk to the horse.
We have Shirley the Malaysian chain-smoking orangutan.
Oh, that's just sad.
We have Cookie the ticklish penguin. That's not going to be much of a bit. He's just going to go, hee-hee-hee. We're going to go, thanks for talking to us.
Oh, as opposed to all the other bits, we really get deep inside the story.
We have the rabid Philly beaver, which I think we ran into a couple of this weekend. We have the sad wombat who needs hugs.
Aww.
And we have the Finnish Hitler mocking dog. So let's spin that wheel and see what we come up with.
What happened to the dog that can't take a hit? We never talked to him either. Is he not on the wheel anymore?
He took a hint, finally. They gave him a hint.
Hey, look at that. It's Shirley the chain-smoking orangutan.
That's weird because the wheel is here in Los Angeles and you're in San Francisco. And we didn't tell you what it was. How can you see what's on the wheel? That's what I'm surprised by.
It landed on Shirley, the 25-year-old orangutan.
10.
How do you know? I'm saying the wheel is here. You're in San Francisco. There's no cameras in here. You can't see where the wheel landed. We didn't even tell you yet where the wheel landed.
That was
Muggs,
correct.
Where did it land?
It did land on Shirley the Malaysian Smoky Orangutan.
What a lucky guess.
Wow, we should do a different bit called Kevin the Psychic and forget about this lame-ass animal bit. That's the bit we should be doing, is Kevin can read the minds of people.
Ralph is holding a piece of U.S. currency in his hand. What is the denomination of that currency?
It's a new segment I like.
I'm looking at the wheel.
Okay, he's got it in his hand.
What am I holding?
What am I holding?
You are holding a $5 bill.
Oh! That is a $5 bill.
Thank you. Hey, by the way, I look at the wheel as much when I'm there as I do when I'm here.
All right, what's the story with poor Shirley?
I'm out of here.
No, don't leave. We're going to call.
This is the good part.
Don't leave.
Oh, he's going to miss it. Yeah. I've never been to Malaysia, but I don't think I want to go to a zoo there. This is the world's saddest zoo.
Oh,
and apparently they've passed laws in Malaysia that they need to clean up the zoo because it's just so much. Like the crocodile enclosure, for example, no water.
Oh, come on. The crocodile. Oh, come on. That's horrible.
They have lions and tigers that they keep in those little tiny crates that they, you know, if you want to take your little poodle on a plane, that's basically the size crate that they keep them in. And they have an orangutan named Shirley who's 25 years old, is a chain smoker, literally smokes cigarettes all day long. And people walk by and throw cigarettes in. And Shirley and Abu, her cellmate, fight over the cigarette butts so that they can smoke.
There's no way for a monkey to live. Come on.
So we thought we'd call the zoo, Bean, in Malaysia.
Well, of course we're calling the zoo. Producer Alex has lined up a representative to talk to us from the world's worst zoo in Malaysia. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi. Are you a spokesperson for the zoo?
No, I'm not. I'm a monkey. Well,
oh, this is Shirley.
Yes, this is Shirley. Who's this?
I'm so shocked. It's Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
I'm not familiar. Like,
yeah, you say that like Shirley's going to recognize us.
I don't know your work, but I'm sure it's very good. Wait a minute. Please. Are you the guys with the psychic? Do you have the psychic guy on your show?
That's us. That's us.
I have two of you. He did a bit with $5 once. I was blown away.
It's incredible. I know.
You guys are the best.
It took us a long time to find out what his brain was good for, but now we know. Well, listen, Shirley, I hope this story isn't true.
What can I do for you, fellas?
You're 25 years old.
That's
you're
right,
in the world's worst zoo. You and your cage mate, Abu, tell us about smoking. Is that for reals?
Smoking is for real. Yeah.
But we're saying you smoke? You're a chain smoker in the zoo?
I got nothing else to do, quite frankly. I don't know how long my sentence is here, but I'm in. I'm in for the long haul. So, and cigarettes are used as currency on the inside, as you know.
The
only way I didn't get raped by a lion a long time ago.
Yeah, that's no fun for anyone.
Cigarettes. You don't get caught in the shower with a lion. I'll tell you that
much.
Oh,
no. You do not. I agree.
No.
I mean, I've never been to that zoo, but I can guess that's bad.
No, in any situation, you don't want to get it.
How many butts are you smoking a day?
Wait a minute.
I mean, I'm sorry. How many cigarettes are you smoking a day? Yeah.
Because on the inside, the whole smoking a butt thing takes a whole new meaning.
Let's go with cigarettes. How many a day?
Well, it depends. It depends on how many tourists come by and just flick their butts into the cage, you know? Then I just smoke what I got because
and then it's you.
I can't buy them. They don't have them here at the gift shop.
No,
that's right. The world's worst zoo. The gift shop is it's like a rock and some snot. That's it. That's all you can buy there.
Wait, you can buy snot?
I know. It's the world's worst zoo, quite frankly, in my opinion. But what do I know? I'm just a 25-year-old orangutan.
Yeah. So you don't care that this could impair your health at this point? You just hope to die, so you just keep smoking, and you're hoping that that's your way out, right?
Wait a minute. Cigarettes are bad for you?
Yeah.
They cause cancer, yeah.
Oh, damn it.
They'll kill you.
That's the drawback of not being able to read, being an orangutan. You don't find out about those things. I look at the pack. I look at the side of the pack. I see something's written there, but I have no idea what it is because I can't read.
It says, warning, orangutans can die from smoking.
Well, I wish I'd known that before I started.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
How many fingers am I holding up, Kevin? How many fingers am I holding up?
Three.
That's amazing. This guy's amazing.
Kevin Abincio, and you can watch a complete recap, the encore presentation of the Weenie Roast at krock.com starting at 10 a.m. Right now it is 7:56.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Ralph, I know you hear about it from the Garmy. I know that they send you lots of emails about the poor job that Kevin and Bean do filling in for the show's beat. But I'm going to tell you, we never appreciate you or miss you more than when you're on vacation and we have to do the goddamn showbiz beat. I will tell you that. We couldn't be more delighted that you are back.
Well, I'm happy to be back. And yes, the Garmy does talk about what happens while I'm gone. Right?
They badmouth us a lot.
I get bits and pieces. I get updates. And yeah.
It's us doing the show
this week, but there was some bad stuff going on.
It's a lot like the zoo in Malaysia. That's about how poorly it's run.
Yeah, I heard Omar took a shot. That's I got a lot of email about that.
He did.
Yeah.
He did, yeah.
How'd that go?
Well,
you know.
Well?
Omar is full of... well, question mark, or well, period?
Omar's,
all of the above.
Omar brings the hate machine, I'll tell you that. Yeah, he does hate everything, so it was kind of like
having
you there.
Except for the furries.
Except for the furries, right.
Well, let me celebrate the fact that I'm back by giving away some passes to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Green Lantern.
Yay!
Oh, I can't remember last time I was this excited about a film. One of my favorite superheroes of all time, the Green Lantern. It's happening Thursday, June the 16th. If you'd like to go, you'll see it before anybody else. I've got three pairs of passes, but I can't just give these away because I have to give them out to a fellow comic book fan. So, as we all know, the Guardians of the Universe from the planet Oa, the people who, of course, created the Green Lantern Corps, which is the intergalactic police force that protects us all, has broken up the universe into 3,600 different sectors.
Right.
Now, all I need to know is, from you, the fine Kevin and Bean listener, is what sector of the universe is planet Earth in? 1-800-520-1067. The Green Lantern from Earth, Hal Jordan, he looks over what sector of the universe? 1-800-520-1067. First three people with the correct answer get a pair of passes. Couldn't be easier. You guys know what sector we're in, right?
I don't sector. Even know what that is.
I'm with him.
Top 10 movies.
Ow.
That...
Sorry, go ahead.
Too many microphones.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. X-Men First Class, $56 million made at number one in its debut weekend. The Hangover Part 2 was number two. Kung Fu Panda 2 was third. Pirates of the Caribbean 4 was fourth. Bridesmaids was five. Then Thor, Fast 5, Midnight in Paris, Jumping the Broom, and Something Borrowed, rounding out your top 10. You know, with Thor and X-Men First Class and Green Lantern, by the end of the summer, all the movies in the top 10 will be comic book movies.
That's true. Yes.
Well, Captain America
rule.
Oh, they're just the best.
Can I start that again?
Wow.
I need to make peace with the nerds because they are going to rule the world and I'm going to be snuffed out.
The geek shall inherit the earth, my friend.
Yes.
Sad but true. And you will be snuffed out.
I will.
We've already talked about it.
I deserve it.
Moby was electrocuted on stage last week in Amsterdam.
Oh, my God.
Dude. Wait, electrocuted, died electrocuted, or
no,
just electrocuted?
Just electrocuted, not right. To death. He wasn't shocked to death. He was, ironically, it happened during an acoustic performance. You can see a video in the incident. Moby rubs his neck after the shock, hands his guitar to a roadie, jumps off the stage, and then quickly collapses.
Wow.
He was rushed to the hospital. He posted the next day that he was okay. And he added in his own unique sense of humor, maybe I even had some accidental electroshock therapy. So he was happy about that. But see, kids, you got to be careful. You never know what's going to happen.
That's what happens when your birthday is September 11. You just walk around with a big black cloud and bad things happen to you.
And while we're talking about health and showbiz, this, I thought, came in just in time, perhaps, for our boy Bean. The wildly popular video game L.A. Noire.
Mm-hmm.
It has been discovered can be used as a valuable learning tool for those living with Asperger's syndrome.
What?
The video game can be used to help train people with Asperger's how to recognize emotions on people's faces.
Which Bean has it's an impossibility for him to do.
Exactly.
You've got to get this game. How dare you?
No connection with humans. He doesn't know how to interact with them. He can't read their level of interest in his stories or his conversation. He can't become empathetic with other people's emotions because he can't read them on their faces. Apparently, this is one of the weaknesses that come along with Asperger's syndrome.
And I should be a furry. Everybody would just be in a costume. I'd never have to see anybody's face.
This video game, they've spent so much attention to detail in terms of the facial expressions that experts have decided this game can be a cognitive tool in teaching people with Asperger's how to recognize the emotional spectrum in people's faces.
Wow. But people are fairly overrated, though, don't you guys think?
No, people are pretty important.
In general, no.
Oh,
okay. Oh, that's ridiculous.
Asperger people, says in this article, have something referred to as mind blindness.
or the inability to divine what's happening in the mind of another human being by looking at their face.
Oh, my God, that's so true.
Yeah, they have the inability to put themselves into someone else's shoes, to imagine their thoughts and feelings, and the facial animations in L.A. Noire help them learn those emotions. So
I just found out I have Asperger's syndrome.
We have to get that game for Bean.
We have to make him play it.
How dare you?
We have a winner of my trivia question, and Tim on line one, I believe.
I hope not.
Tim knows what sector we live in. Tim.
Hey. Tim. Good morning.
What sector can Earth be found in?
2814.
2814, of course. Sector 2814.
Hey, Tim.
I'm glad I didn't know that.
Tim, would you give up that nugget of information if you could have ever had sex one time with a woman?
Maybe not.
Tim, you're having sex all the time, aren't you, Tim? You're having sex all the time.
Like all comic book dorks, constant sex.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we know. Congratulations to Dave and Daniel. They also know that Earth can be found in Sector 2814.
Was all guys calling in?
Where Hal Jordan, as the Green Lantern, patrols and protects us all. God bless him. Hal Jordan. You know, we've got other Green Lanterns, too, in our sector. We've got Guy Gardner and John Stewart.
I don't.
Guy Gardner.
And Kyle Rayner, too, of course.
We don't need to.
I think we're the only sector that has four active Green Lanterns in it.
Oh, my God. How can I make this stop?
Today's celebrity birthday.
Now I know what it's like when you guys are talking to me.
Robert Englund is 64 years old today. Wait till Comic-Con this year. Oh, it's going to be sweet.
We're gonna have to brush up on it. By the time we go down there, we'll get beaten to death.
At Comic-Con, it is the Ralph Garman Show, and then in tiny, tiny letters, featuring Kevin and Bean.
Yeah. Harvey Fierstein's 59. Sandra Bernhardt is 56. Colin Quinn is 52. Paul Giamatti celebrates his 44th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
That is what I'm talking about.
Wow! It's the world famous K-Rock at 11 minutes after 8.
Hey, party people, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Yes, Ralph Garman is back from vacation. Ralph is in studio now because right before you left, Ralph.
Yes.
You were a little further along in the House storyline, the Fox hit show House.
I watch it every week.
But apparently self-surgery came up, which is one of our favorite topics here on the Kevin and Bean Show. People who perform sometimes minor, sometimes major operations on themselves for whatever reason because you know they don't have health insurance or they don't have access to a doctor or whatever it is. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067 with your self-surgery stories. Now, what was the scene that kind of prompted you to bring it up?
Dr. Gregory House was taking an experimental drug that was supposedly regrowing muscle tissue in rats. So he starts to take it, and it does regrow his muscle in his leg that has been damaged and repairs the strength and the muscle tissue itself. But then they find out that the drug is actually giving these rats tumors and killing them late in the treatment. And House gives himself an MRI and does find that his leg is filled with tumors.
Okay, now Dr. House works in one of the best hospitals in America. Couldn't he go to work and go, hey, guys, I got all these tumors in my leg. How about an operation?
He could, but he was using the drug. He was using the drug illegally. He was stealing the drug and taking it. It was not approved for human trials. And so he would have to explain where they came from and what were the result of the tumors were. And so he thought it would be easier just to take them out himself in the bathtub.
He's also one of those guys who's super, super, super smart and really kind of doesn't trust any other surgeons, right?
Yes.
He's not a surgeon,
He's not a surgeon, no. He's a doctor.
Oh, my God.
So he takes himself into the bathtub, and he shoots his leg up with Novocaine, and he's got the MRI, the X-rays. He holds up to the light. He sees where the tumors are, and he just starts cutting into his leg and starts taking out the tumors. And he gets one or two done. And then he gets deep into the leg, and the anesthesia starts to wear off, and things start to go horribly wrong. Because now his leg is just splayed open in front of him, and he's got a magnifying glass, and he's looking in there trying to find the tumors, and the pain starts to get out of control.
All right, here's a clip.
Yeah, it's bad stuff.
I don't know, it sounds like it went well.
It's bad stuff there.
Sounds like things went well there.
Sounds like the worst sex tape audio ever, by the way.
They have to call his ex-girlfriend to come get him out of the bathtub and take him to the hospital as he goes into shock.
Here's what Dr. Cuddy had to say.
Are you suicidal?
I'm not attempting bypass surgery. The tumors are small and they're close to the surface. I thought it'd be like moving. Warrant.
You couldn't wait till morning. Bring your CT scans to an actual surgeon?
Surgeons are idiots. Just hack away at the muscle. I got one of the tumors. The second one is closed. You can use the CT to help you find the third.
I'm taking you to the hospital.
Just excise the tumor.
Absolutely not.
Okay, bad times.
Bad times.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your stories of self-surgery. And I was thinking about it this weekend. What was the name of the movie with James Franco played the guy who cut off his own arm?
127 Hours?
Exactly. That's probably the ultimate self-surgery, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You have to cut your own arm off with your pocket knife. And, you know, no doctors, no anesthesia. You're faced with a choice of cut off your arm or die. Now, most of us would die. Most of us would give up and just die.
I agree. But the different thing about that story is he had no other options.
Trapped by a boulder.
All the people who we're going to talk to today had other options.
Well, that's a good point.
And
you
decided,
don't know, man. You don't know. Maybe we're going to talk to someone who's trapped by a boulder.
Why don't you wait to see?
They're
going to
use
the
their one good arm to call.
That's right. Yes.
So we want to hear what kinds of surgery. What have you heard of, Ralph? Have you heard of any things that people have done that, you know, people should people do set their own broken bones? For instance, I've heard of people doing that before rather than go to the doctor.
I set my nose when I was in college. I broke it and it was crooked, and I thought I've seen this on TV. I can do it, and I just looked in a mirror and just went. And it hurt like a mother effer.
I think television has spoiled many of us to believe that we can do a lot of things that we can't really do in real life.
Yeah. I bet dental surgery is not uncommon. I have a friend of mine who removed a tooth of his own, removed his own tooth.
Really?
What? Yeah.
That seems like the worst kind.
How did he do it? Did he do it like in Jackass where he tied it to a, truck or something?
To a car and sped off.
He did it with pliers.
Oh, my God. Why didn't he go to the dentist?
Couldn't afford it.
Hates dentistry.
Wow.
I'll bet there's a lot of
people. He was in agony and he felt better. He said once the tooth came out, he did feel better.
Wow.
He was very
drunk. Did he drink
very
heavily
drunk.
Before he did it?
Very drunk when he did it. Yeah.
Before, during, and after.
Yeah.
He may still be drunk. All right. That's what we're looking for, kids. 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number from anywhere. Call us now. Self-surgery stories coming up on the Kevin.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 25 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Kip writes in, hey guys, just want to say thanks for talking about self-surgery while I'm in the middle of eating my breakfast, douchebags. Okay, there's that. Matthew writes in, this break is doing wonders for my breakfast burrito. Thanks, guys.
Good.
Look, it's not our fault if you're eating, okay?
Well, this is the time people eat, though.
Yeah, I know, but all still. Right. Talking about self-surgery as a result of a House episode from a couple of weeks ago where the doctor decided to operate on his own leg. For whatever reason, sometimes people decide, hey, I don't really need to go to the hospital as much as I need to do the surgery myself.
That was a doctor and he got into trouble.
Exactly.
Our listeners aren't doctors.
Doctors, right. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your self-surgery stories. Let's start with Steve on line 3. Steve, apparently, just like Ralph was talking about his friend, took out his own tooth. So let's start there. Steve, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, no, I'm doing good. Good morning, guys. So a couple weeks ago, I'm eating chicken, and I bit a bone, and I broke a tooth and split one. And the one I split, I thought, just knocked loose. Well, the little food particles go in there and got infected. And last weekend was a long weekend. And you know how you get that big bubble of blood and pus in it? It's a lot of
fun. Oh, I love it.
Man.
How's that breakfast burrito tasted now?
Can you be less descriptive? We all know that.
Big bubble of blood and pus was so great on the side stage Saturday, by the way. So what'd you do? Now, you can't. Well, there is such thing as emergency dentistry. You know that, right, Steve?
Well, I called my dentist's office, and they got the recording, and you got to leave a message, and somebody's got to call you back. So anyway, I had some leftover syringes from when I was doing growth hormone and stuff, and I thought, well, if I just poke into that and suck that out of it, that'll help a lot. And
wow.
It
did work.
Said, yeah, she said I did a good job, but I should have done it more. It wasn't drained enough.
How about that?
Your dentist was effing with you. Oh, that was great. You did a good job. You should have taken the whole thing out.
You must have been so happy with yourself that you were able to relieve the pain, though.
Oh, yeah. Felt so much better. Like, just 2 minutes in, 3cc syringe with a 22-gauge needle.
Unbelievable.
All right, well, self-dentistry check.
Well done. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's try BJ. BJ operated on his own eye.
What?
Don't you want to just stay away from your eyes with everything sharp your whole life? I mean, that's just a rule, right?
Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. I always play around.
No. No, there's no sometimes. You operate on your arm, your leg, your toe, your eye. You leave to a professional.
What did you do? Do you give yourself LASIK and now you can see 20/40?
No, I still got vision, good vision. I work for a toy company with RC cars, remote control cars, and I'm at work gluing some tires for a race that I'm doing, and I'm putting contact glue, basically crazy glue, on the tire. And the fan snaps right off the tire and specks a whole bunch of glue into my eyeball.
Okay, bad times at this point. Now, what do you do? Don't you just wash yourself out for something like that?
Well, since contact
super glue
really fast, it starts to burn and smoke in my eye. So I can see the smoke coming from my eyeball.
And when you see smoke from your eyeball, just as a general rule, that's bad.
Yeah, I'm screaming for someone to come over and help me because I just glued my eye together. My manager's there, and he's like, what? What'd you do? I said, I glued my eye. I had glue going in my eye from a rubber band. So they come over, and they see the red speck, and it's probably a quarter inch in diameter, which almost is covering the white spot of my eye.
Right.
Instead of trying to help me and go to the doctor, they sent me a paper because they brought a paper downstairs to ask me, are you going to go to the doctor? I said, no, I think I can fix this. They're like, okay, well, you need to sign this paper before, just in case you do get hurt and you die on us, we're not responsible.
I love that they know you well enough that the first thing they did was run and get that paper.
Yeah, because I play with a lot of X-Acto blades. So.
Sure.
All right, so real quick, how'd you get the glue out of your eye?
Well, it burned, got solid. I waited for a couple hours, went home. I was sitting around. I needed to figure this out. It started to hurt. So I
don't need any of this. Just need the part where you got the glue out of your eye.
I took a brand new X-Acto blade out of my kit that I do stuff with, didn't clean it, and looked in the mirror and scraped the whole glue off my eyeball.
There it is.
All right.
There it is.
So we got self-dentistry, check. X-Acto blade in the eye, check.
Wow. Thank you for the call. All right, let me give you your choice, Kevin.
These are worse than I thought they were going
to
be.
Do you want to talk to Lisa about her anal wart?
No.
Not or do you want to talk Lisa. To...
No.
No, different Lisa. Or do you want to talk to Robert about a mole on his testicles?
I think we got to go with Robert.
Robert, line four. Thank you for calling. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Lisa, you hang on. We are going to get to you. Robert, what's going on, dude?
No, we're not.
What's up, Kevin Bean, Lisa May?
Hello.
So you had a mole on your testicle? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, that was it. I was in the shower and grooming my man parts.
Right.
And I nicked the mole with the razor, and it started profusely bleeding all over the place. So at that point, there's not really any turning back, at least for me.
You had to take the rest of the mole off.
Yeah, so I yelled to my girlfriend, and she went and got toenail clippers.
Toenail clippers?
Yeah, it's the only thing I can think of.
How about, emergency room?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Too embarrassing, or...? Okay, you thought you could fix it. All right, good.
And how did it end up? Were you satisfied with the results?
Well, yeah. For one, trying to cut something like that in that sensitive of an area is really hard. So the first
it's
time
terrifying,
I went,
of course.
That's why we're saying, hey, maybe emergency room.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay.
Now.
In retrospect, I'm with you, Ryan. All right, thank you for the call. We got so many great calls here. Let's try Eric. Eric is on line five. Now, Eric, do I understand correctly that you are an EMT, so you're... probably in better shape than a lot of people to do self-surgery, right?
Yeah, my mom was an RN. I've grown up around the medical industry my entire life.
All right, so what did you decide you needed to do?
I had a biomass cyst in my leg, a biomass cyst in my greater trochanteris, the top part of your leg. I took some betadine, cleaned up the area, cut about a half-inch X in the top of it, went in with some forceps, and popped out the cyst. And what it actually was you can get a cactus or an aloe vera stuck inside your leg and the very tip of it breaks off. And the body will try to fight it and eat it down, but instead it ends up packing more and more leukocytes, white blood cells around it, and it makes a cyst.
You sound so calm, cool, and collected now. Were you that way that day as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, you can't have shaking hands and you're cutting on yourself, man. Are you crazy?
Listen, no. You can't cut on yourself. Really,
now,
start there.
A lot of people do it for recreation. I did it for a medical purpose.
Recreation?
Why didn't you, who must have contacts at hospitals, why didn't you go have a doctor do it? Or have a fellow EMT do it.
Because they really are, if I'd gone to an emergency room, they would have done the exact same thing I'd done to myself.
Unbelievable.
I mean, really, it's not, I've had doctors not even giving me anesthetic and cut flaps of skin off just because they're like, ah, you're not going to feel this. And they pop and it's like, oh, there was a nerve in there. Oops.
Wow, so, this is crazy. All right. Thank you very much for the call. All right,
you're
one
welcome.
More.
Let's day, guys. Let
you Thanks. Too as well, man. We really appreciate it. Let's do Lisa on line on whatever line she's on, six, I guess. Lisa, anal warts, yeah. Good times, good
yeah,
times.
Well, yeah, they were. Well, I have to start by saying I did go to the doctor, and he was like 85 years old, and he couldn't see, and he told me they were all gone. So
new doctor?
So I went home and took a couple shots of whiskey first, of course.
Sweet.
And,
by the way, we forgot to ask. We should have asked every single person about drinking, but go ahead.
Yeah. So then I took the end of a nail head and lit it, set it over like a lighter until it got red hot.
Right.
And then I just singed them off. There's probably about, I don't know, 8 or 10.
Oh, 8 or 10?
Yeah,
what's going on down there that you're growing these warts? What is happening down there?
Well, it was it was embarrassing, but I had to get them off. I was totally motivated.
This is the least sexy conversation I have ever been a part of.
I get it.
And you are my kind of woman that you would call the Kevin and Bean Show and tell us that story. God bless you, Lisa. I love you. Thanks
love
for
you
calling.
Guys too.
Bye now. Hey, if you missed any of the K-Rock Weenie Roast or you'd like to see an encore presentation or you just hate your job, we're going to do it at 10 o'clock at krock.com. It is 841. Blink 182 there on the Kevin and Bean Show. All three guys are going to be joining us in studio on Friday talking about how they're doing, putting the new record together, what their future plans are. I love when Blink 182 comes to visit, by the way. They're so much fun.
Yeah, they're the best.
That'll be coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Monday means we catch up with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Of course, the TMZ bus tour is doing gangbuster business. You can get your tickets and all the information at TMZ.com. Harvey, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
You weren't here last week. We talked to Dax, but we pumped up the bus tour a lot, and we put our video up at kevinandbean.com of you taking Kevin out. Thank you for doing that, by the way. And the tour looks like so much fun.
It's so much fun. And you know what? We see stars all the time. It was so hilarious. Flavor Flav jumped on the bus and did a contest to win his book.
Really? Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Lisa Vanderpump came over. I mean, they're all like coming up to the bus. It's really fun. I you know what? Kevin, you were on it. I was. What do you think?
It's awesome. Here's the way I described it. It's not your parents' tour of Hollywood. Right, because it used to be a Hollywood bus tour was, this is where Dean Martin used to live.
Right.
And now it's like, hey, this is where Paris Hilton showed us her cooch. I mean, it's so much better.
Yeah, it's way better. It's 100% better.
We also make fun of you, Harvey, because you said, hey, I know how to handle a microphone. I'll hold it. And then you put it underneath your ass. Or you put it right by your balls or something. I was like, why are you miking your balls? How is that needed?
I forgot about that.
It's funny you should say about how the celebrities jump on and stuff. What is the relationship in general, TMZ, with your cameras out everywhere? What kind of relationship do you have with celebrities? I would think they would be terrified and horrified to see your camera guys.
It is the opposite. Because, I mean, look, we're lucky that we have, I mean, the TV show does really well and the website mm-hmm. does really well and they right. ultimately they're all in business and they want to be seen. And so I mean they could be on one of these shows where you know the average age is like 68 or they could be you know with us where right. it's more the demo that they're looking for. And so I mean listen, most of them just want to have fun with us. And I mean and that's what we want with them. I mean we just want to have fun with them and make stuff that's funny and fun. And they're jumping on our bus. What can I say?
I know, that's hilarious. All right, well let's catch up on a couple of stories.
By the way, we're even going to make it a party bus at night. People are going to be able to use this as party bus.
At night, sweet.
Strong.
That's great. I got to do that next time I'm in town, Harvey. It really does sound like fun.
It's really fun.
A couple of celebrities. We didn't get a chance, as I mentioned, to talk to you last week. What do you make of this fast track that Kim Kardashian seems to be on to get married to a guy she barely knows? And what's the latest with the planning? Because I imagine they're going to make millions of dollars from sponsors and selling the photos of this upcoming wedding, right?
Well, here's what we find out. Yeah, I mean, they're going to make a ton of money off of that. Remember, Khloe and Lamar knew each other for a very short time when they got married, and everybody wrote that one off and said that they'd be divorced within 2 weeks, and it's lasted.
Yeah.
So you mm-hmm. gotta, you know, you know, that's you gotta give them their due there. So with Kim and Chris, so she gets a $2 million wedding ring. He paid for it. Turns out.
Does he make that kind of money?
But they discounted this thing in a huge way because they knew they were going to get publicity. So he still paid around $1 million bucks for it. But yeah, I mean he owns a couple of fried chicken franchises in Duluth, and also makes, I think, like $8 million. I think he's worth $8 or $9 million.
Wow.
And she's worth a lot more, but they're negotiating a prenup right now. But here's the deal with these wedding rings. So they're negotiating a prenup, and I'm sure that means what he walks in with, he keeps, and what he makes, he keeps, and then the same with her on her side. But
right.
if the marriage doesn't work out, she keeps the ring. That's usually
weird is it to have sisters that grow up to both marry professional basketball
players?
Isn't it
weird?
That doesn't happen very often, yeah.
It's really weird.
What's the celebrity hyphen name for them? Are we going with Hump Dashian?
I like K-Hump. I like K-Hump.
Oh, K-Hump. Very sexy.
I like K-Hump.
I worked at K-Hump in the early 90s.
Now, did you know, I mean, this is really weird. Did you know that Khloe Kardashian, she kept Kardashian, but made it her middle name? It's not even a hyphenate.
Mm-mm. Isn't that pretty common, though? A lot of girls hang on to their maiden name that way, don't they?
But I thought they do it with hyphenates.
Yeah, they make it half of their last name.
Right.
That's right, and it's not half of her last name. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like, you know, she's very, I guess she's traditional, and with the exception of the sex tape, she's traditional, and I just can't believe that with a name, I mean, Keeping Up with the Humphreys?
I know. I can't believe she's going to start using her husband's name professionally either. That's shocking to me. And I know
her mom is pissed off about it. When does that ever work out?
It worked out for Rebecca Romijn Oh, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let me ask you one more thing. We're talking to our friend Harvey Levin, TMZ.com and TMZ Television. And, of course, the TMZ bus tour details at the website.
This better be the only story I care about.
Oh, you want to talk about that instead?
Yeah. Well, yes.
Go ahead. All right.
Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis.
Did you see the tape from them last night at the MTV Movie Awards?
Harvey put it up.
Holding each other's junk for like 30 minutes.
Yes. JT's got his hand on Mila Kunis's boobs.
Both.
And she reaches both boobs, and she reaches around and grabs his crotch at the same time. It's like, and they're not dating, right?
Not, they are now.
Timberlake rules. I don't care anything about his music.
No, he does
gets
rule.
Every chick in Hollywood.
I know.
All right, now to whatever dumb story you wanted to talk about.
I just wanted to ask, and we brought this up briefly with Dax last week. Lindsay Lohan is under house arrest, so she can't go out. Tell me I'm not misunderstanding this. So she goes up on the roof and hangs out sunbathing, essentially so that paparazzi can get pictures of her and she can still continue to stay famous even though she can't leave her house.
Well, the other way of looking at it, and I think the better way of looking at it, is you really can't see it that well when she's on the sunroof, but she can sell those pictures.
Right, but I mean, I've seen pictures on your site of her laying out in a, you know, lounge chair or something like that, and I'm thinking it looks like photographers are on the roof with her taking these pictures.
Here's the thing. She's under house arrest. It's the way house arrest works. She hasn't left that house. That false alarm was really just a false alarm and bad equipment.
Uh-huh.
So she's doing what she's supposed to do, you know?
Now, there's no limit to who she can let in, right?
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. She's ordering from this hoity-toity restaurant called Jelena. She's ordering squid. She's, I mean.
Well, that's a rough life.
This is jail. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I wish I could go to jail. That's what I'm looking forward to. All right, Harvey, keep doing the Lord's work at TMZ.com, man. Great to catch up with you.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
Thank you, Lisa. It's a world-famous K-Rock at 8:52.
What is a furry? It's a person who dresses up like an animal, and they claim it's not for sexual reasons.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Omar Khan was at the Calaver convention over the weekend interviewing a bunch of furries. We have highlights of those interviews coming up for you after the top of the hour here on the Kevin DeMeade Show. Right now, though, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph.
It's not sexual. They just really get into the stench of BO and fake hair.
That is the best part. That's cool.
Ugh.
Did you deal with the furries when you were doing the Playboy sex show?
I thought you did.
I think we did plushies on Sex Ed. I don't think we did furries.
I can't keep them
all
straight.
It's a different subset, of course. The plushies like to have sex with stuffed animals. The furries like to dress up as stuffed animals.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how you keep it straight. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. We do it every Monday morning. X-Men First Class came in with $56 million at number one this weekend. Hangover Part 2 was number two. $32.4 million made it so. Kung Fu Panda 2 came in at number 3 with $24.3 million. Then Pirates of the Caribbean 4 and Bridesmaids rounding out your top 5. Thor, Fast 5, Midnight in Paris, Jumping the Broom, and Something Borrowed were the top 10 at the box office this weekend. I have a long thought that it would be good to be John Stamos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, it would.
Even the worst situations for John Stamos turn out well. New York Post says he was in New York City last week, accidentally spilled a glass of red wine on a woman at a restaurant. Now, usually when you spill a glass of red wine on a woman at a restaurant, she does not like you. She
right,
will get
and you
upset
pay for her dry
you.
Cleaning, and she hits you, and yeah.
She calls you a few choice words, and...
What's wrong with you? Pay attention! What are you doing? That kind of stuff.
Yeah. He did it. She looked up, and she handed him a napkin and said, I think you have to clean me up now.
Come on!
Come on! Really?
Yes. That is not right.
And she just kicked back in the chair while he took the napkin and dabbed all over her breasts and thighs and cleaned her up.
Yay, knee pads!
Oh my God.
Wiping her legs specifically several times, say onlookers, okay. As she looked at him and smiled.
I sort of have a boner.
Yeah.
We get it. You're
how
Stamos.
How different
we get it.
Is his life than ours?
Yeah, that's the point of that story right
wow.
there.
Wow. Yeah. And by the way, what is he taking where he looks better today than he did 10 years ago, better today than he did 20 years ago? What's that deal?
Effer. I don't know. Something's wrong.
Come on.
Something is very, very wrong with him. I saw Rob Lowe on a talk show over the weekend. Same thing.
Same elixir,
Looks better now than he did when he was first a star 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not acceptable.
No.
Rumors are, over on The Office, that they're not going to permanently replace Steve Carell's character.
What?
They're going to
continue?
They're going to relieve it as a revolving door where guest stars will come in for large chunks of the show and play the interim manager for the foreseeable future. Will that be too distracting? Will that work, you think?
I don't know. I got to tell you, the finale for me was the worst Office of all time.
What?
Did you guys watch it? Did you watch it?
With all the guest stars coming in to interview for the job? Yeah, I thought it was hilarious.
Yes. Terrible.
How can you say that?
So not funny. And I love
so
that show.
So funny.
But so not funny. If you put not before funny, then I'll accept your statement.
Oh, so wrong.
I will tell you that I don't know that I loved it like Ralph did. I certainly didn't hate it like Kevin did. But Ricky Gervais himself came out and he said that final episode jumped the shark. Thank you! I mean, that's what his opinion was of it. I don't know. I don't know whether we were all expecting too much from it because it was Steve Carell's goodbye or whatever, but...
Well, that wasn't even his goodbye episode.
His goodbye was the episode before, yeah. Which was a great episode.
Just sitting down with different people at the conference room and interviewing potential candidates.
I think the finale paled compared to the episode before where Steve Carell left.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a home run. That was an out of the park, yeah.
It was a great episode, and it really tugged at the heartstrings, but I thought it was very funny to have
that,
the different
That was
people.
Also, to me, an exception, though. I mean, I love that show, and I've watched it the whole time, so I'll continue to see how... I mean, look, we've talked about this before, Ralph. Of all the shows on television, the one that is best situated to go on losing a star is The Office, because they have such an unbelievably talented ensemble.
Actually, I think Jersey Shore really is, because of their talented ensemble. I think they could afford to lose, let's say, a Sammy. Or a Ronnie, and then they would still carry on because they have so much talent.
True.
Speaking of which, MTV has announced August the 4th at 10 p.m., the debut episode of Jersey Shore Italy.
I'll bet LaQuisha is thrilled.
Get to see the latest and greatest of the Jersey Shore. Meanwhile, right after that airs, they'll already be back in Jersey filming season 5. While we're watching Italy, they're already filming season 5 back in Seaside Heights. So
No!
A lot going on in the world.
I wish they wouldn't keep sending out spoilers. I wish they wouldn't send out, did the situation get beat up and Snooki got in a wreck?
Does it ruin it for you, Kevin?
Yeah, just because it's much more fun to watch them destroy themselves on TV for the first time.
I'm sorry we're ruining Jersey Shore for you by giving you too much information.
Hey, how about a spoiler alert next time you bring it up, Ralph?
And congratulations to Naya Rivera. She, of course, plays the tasty little Cheerio troublemaker Santana on Glee. She has just landed her own record deal.
Okay. All right.
She's going to tour all summer long with the rest of the Glee cast, and then get into the recording studio to record her own record. I think she's a real good singer.
All those kids on that show are, I mean, phenomenal singers and dancers. I mean, that's kind of why they got hired for the show. So, I mean, I wouldn't doubt she could do well.
She's only the third of the cast, though, to get her own solo record deal. Matthew Morrison has the album out now. Mark Salling,
right?
Mark Salling, who plays Puck with the...
Oh, yeah.
The Mohawk, he's got his right. own deal.
Oh, dear God.
His own record deal, and then Naya Rivera is the third, so I'm sure eventually they all will.
But I remember when we had Puck on, he told us that he had albums before the show. He's been a musician longer than he's been an actor, and it was kind of a natural progression for him.
Yeah, boy, was he a tool.
Yeah.
When we had him on.
He kind of was, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
This isn't my thing, man. I'm more rock and roller, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Puck.
Enough from you.
Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Englund, who played, of course, the legendary Freddy Krueger in the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, 64 years old today. Comedian Colin Quinn celebrates his 52nd birthday, and actor Paul Giamatti, who can currently be seen in The Hangover Part 2, he celebrates his 44th birthday today. Doesn't seem like Paul Giamatti's older than 44 years old.
Yes.
He's been 44 for 20 years.
He's the anti-Stamos. He is the guy who looked 50 when he was 30. When he did that Sideways, that wine movie, I thought he was pushing 50. And he's only 44 years old today. So happy birthday, Paul. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:41.
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat. Our friend Ralph Garman is here. Ralph, we didn't get a chance to ask you about this earlier, but you had a very special week off from the Kevin Bean Show last week. What can you tell us?
Yeah, it was a week off from the show, but I kept working. I went to Boston to film a couple scenes for a new movie that Seth MacFarlane, creator of Family Guy and American Dad and The Cleveland Show, he is directing his first feature film. It's a live-action comedy that he's shooting in Boston. So I went to Boston to shoot there for a couple days and had a great time. Great,
sweet.
Great gang of people. Got to work with Alex Borstein, who plays Lois Griffin on the Family Guy show. She's the voice of Lois. She played my wife in the scenes, and we had a lot of fun shooting until the tornadoes came, of course, and then
that's right, you were there for the tornadoes.
Put a damper on everything when as tornadoes tear through the state and uproot homes and trees and stuff. It was very scary.
Do you think that God hates Seth MacFarlane?
I think he hates me because I tweeted at one point when I went off to do Red State, the Kevin Smith movie that I'm in. The first day of shooting, it was the hottest day in the history of Los Angeles. Not on that date, in the history of temperatures in Los Angeles. It was the hottest day ever in the history of the city. I went to Boston, where they rarely get tornadoes. I think 40 years had passed since they had a tornado. Two of them touched down just outside Springfield, where we were shooting.
And, it is you.
And I think God is my harshest critic and is trying to tell me something.
Look, Seth MacFarlane can do anything as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he's an unbelievable singer and a comedian and a writer. And obviously, he's a genius with the empire he's created over there at Fox. How does he do with directing live actors? That's not something he's had to do very often.
He was great. I think he's really got a knack for it. Well, here's the thing. When you're...
What's Ralph going to say? He sucked? He's not in it yet.
Well, when you do animation... You do direct the performances that the people who are doing the voices give you, and then you craft the characters visually to look exactly like you have it pictured in your mind.
Right.
So, in essence, you're doing that same process, only with live action. You do it, you know, you tell the actors where to move as opposed to drawing them into place. But he seemed to really be enjoying himself, and he was working long days, and he had when I showed up, he was halfway into a 50-day shooting schedule, and his energy was up, and he was having a blast, so...
All right, let's not fool ourselves into thinking you won't get cut out of this film, but for everybody else in the movie...
I can't be cut out of this film.
You made sure?
Well, the scenes that I'm shooting are integral...
Pivotal?
To the storyline.
Yeah. When will this come out? When can we see Ted?
I'm guessing a year from now.
Come on! Tell him to rush it!
Summer of next year, I'm guessing.
Well, I can't wait. It sounds like an awesome, awesome storyline. But welcome back. You were very deeply missed last week. But time for the showbiz beat now with Ralph, the man who knows how to do it right.
It's good to be back. Monday morning, we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. X-Men First Class came in at number one this weekend. $56 million in its debut. I got a chance to see it yesterday, and boy, did I love it. I thought it was a really, really good comic book movie. Good movie in general, but... for us comic book fans, really kind of came through.
We had Fassbender, Michael Madsen.
Michael Fassbender, yeah.
Great interview. Super smart guy, nice guy. Really, sounds like he really enjoyed making this movie, too.
Yes.
Whatever his name was.
I'm the one who interviewed him with Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good. You're on vacation, Bean, I think.
Yeah, he's just reselling.
Well, I thought maybe he was saying last week you guys interviewed him, but I know that wasn't the case because I was there for that interview.
All right.
I'm just confused.
I am too, because I was there for the interview too. So
wait a minute.
Maybe we were all there.
Maybe I wasn't there.
Oh, maybe somebody wasn't
there. I was there because I ruined his name like six times.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter, guys.
We gotta start coming to the meetings.
Well, were we all there?
I'm just gonna suggest it doesn't matter.
Very strange. The Hangover Part 2 was number two at the box office. Then Kung Fu Panda was second. Pirates of the Caribbean was fourth. Bridesmaids came in at number five. Thor, Fast Five, Midnight in Paris, Jumping the Broom, and Something Borrowed came in at number 10 out of the top 10 this weekend. Paris Hilton and Barbara Walters apparently didn't get along when Paris appeared on The View last week.
But they're really? Both whores.
They seem like such soulmates.
Barbara apparently actually gave Paris Hilton some tough questions.
What?
Paris showed up and started talking about all of her charity work and how she's an entrepreneur and a businesswoman, how she's so much more than the image people have of her. And Barbara kind of went off on a tear of questions saying, well, if you're such a businesswoman and you do all this charity work, why aren't these things ever shown on your reality TV shows? Why is it always you shopping and partying and drinking and stuff like that? If you do all these things, if they do indeed exist, she said in her question, then why aren't they televised?
That's a valid question.
Absolutely it is. Apparently, after the interview, Paris was in tears and her father, Rick, berated the producer of The View, saying it was unacceptable.
What? I mean, couldn't Paris just say, yeah, that work is important, it's important to me, but it doesn't make very good television?
Well, Paris, apparently her new show's horrible and no one's watching anyway. So
right. I didn't even know it was already on.
Yeah, she's got a new show on as we speak. And no one cares.
Think you got a raw deal?
Yeah, I do.
Jersey Shore. The premiere has been set. MTV will roll out this season's episodes beginning Thursday, August the 4th at 10 p.m. The cast in Florence, Italy.
Okay.
They're going to make enemies everywhere they go. It's going to be great.
And then they start shooting season 5 next month in Seaside Heights, New Jersey. So while we're watching season 4, they'll be filming season 5.
I hope it never ends.
It goes on and on and on. Congratulations to Olivia Wilde. She has been cast opposite Bradley Cooper in a new movie called The Words. That's convenient because those two are apparently dating in real life, so they get to work together while they're also stooping.
Would that be the best-looking baby ever?
I think it may.
Is stooping the least sexy word for that?
No, I have other ones, but I can't say.
Okay.
Jeremy Irons, Zoe Saldana, and Dennis Quaid also star in the film. Interesting premise. It's about a guy, a successful writer, who steals another man's work. And then apparently that other writer comes looking for him to settle the score, which isn't bad. You shouldn't steal people. That's the moral of that story.
That is. That's important.
And Adele has canceled the rest of her North American tour. She was supposed to scrap 5 shows last week due to laryngitis, but apparently the condition got worse, and her doctor said there's no way she can sing every night without doing permanent damage to her voice, so she has to quit this tour. No word on whether...
Was she just eating? Is it possible that she just couldn't make a decision?
Bean, that's a ridiculous thing to say. How dare you?
She had to eat. I mean,
wow, you're insensitive.
Yeah, yes.
What a jerk.
She had to stop touring so she could eat because she's not as thin as some other people.
Sometimes I don't like working with Bean because he's so mean.
Kevin, I believe you were the one who was doing nothing but mocking Adele earlier today.
Yeah. Maybe her eyes are bonkers, too. I don't know.
Nope.
No?
I think you're fat.
Oh, come on. She's beautiful in every way.
They were showing pictures of Marion Cotillard after her birth of her children the other day.
Her eyes are bonkers.
Week, and they were showing all these photos of her, and I kept looking how beautiful she is, and I go, who would look at her and say that she has eyes that are bonkers?
So beautiful. Yeah, nothing wrong with her at all.
No. Bonkers.
I said, only,
right. That's what I'm saying.
Only Kevin would me and that look guy. At that face and say,
bonkers. Geez.
And Kevin is an eyes guy, too. He likes pretty eyes, and she has some of the most beautiful eyes on the planet.
But she has some of the most beautiful eyes. She's like, she's like 7 or 8 of some of the most beautiful eyes on the planet.
She have backups?
Yeah, they're interchangeable.
What does she have?
She's got a great bunch of eyes in her drawer, in her eye drawer.
She sure does.
I believe she just has the two.
Oh, is it two? Yeah. I couldn't remember how many it was.
Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Englund is 64 years old today. We've been talking today about his work as Freddy Krueger on Nightmare on Elm Street films. But I got a lot of emails that reminded me that he was also in the original V, too. He was one of the original lizard people in V, the first song.
Oh, who knew?
Yeah. He is 64 years old today. Colin Quinn is 52. Harvey Fierstein is 59 years old. Paul Giamatti, one of my favorite actors. He is 44 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin DeBean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new program. We have Kyle Chandler from Super 8.
Oh, the coach. I can't wait. I love him, and I love that movie so much.
He's the coach of Super 8?
No.
I think he's a sheriff in Super 8. I think he's a sheriff.
Yeah. No, I mean, Kyle Chandler, I'm referring to him as the coach because to me, he'll always be Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights. But I'm very excited about the role he plays in Super 8. It was on TV. I'm not making it up.
It's still on TV.
Oh, it's on TV. It's on NBC, Ralph.
Okay. Well, whatever you say. Yeah. I believe you.
Yeah. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. The King of Sweden has been caught with a stripper, and that's fantastic to me. And Bean, what's his name?
Well, you're talking about King Gustav, right? Yeah. From Sweden?
Sure. Is that Gustav?
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
well, he's the only king of Sweden that there is.
Right. Okay. And yet, I
why are you mocking me? Because I knew who the king of Sweden was. He's the king.
You answered your own question. We also have Petros Papadakis talking sports. We have a brand new internet roundup, and we have Ask a Gang Member.
Wow.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean
show. I'm not coming.